Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis for another day of broadcast insolence. Anna off today. Mr. Richard Roper is in the studio.
Lucky me.
As he is almost every day. So regardless of, I don't even know why I need to mention that. You just hear that voice and that's him.
Like one of those relief pitchers that gets 90 appearances now, right? Nobody goes the full game. That's fine. I'm glad to be here.
You're the closer. I think that's what we're going to call you forever. All right. You know who else is in the studio with us? This is rock and roll royalty in the studio with us. I pray that you are not offended by the term rock and roll royalty.
I'm not offended by the term royalty.
Good. All right. Okay. All right. And the, Todd Rundgren is one of those names that has, I think you have been the symbol of quality in music for greater than 40 years. It says here 50 years. Do you mind if I say 50 years?
You can say 50 years. I'm 71 in 2 months, and I started playing music when I was professionally when I was 18. So
wow.
First record probably when I was 19 or 20. So
yeah. And it's Philadelphia. Yeah. Growing up in Philly.
It's really hard to pin you down to a certain genre of in modern music because you seem to have been involved in so many different projects. You know, your sound from the early 1970s was, you know, very much in that, you know, you were in the sound of the era then, but you've moved eras and you've moved different styles all the way through, and you've produced music mm-hmm. in all different styles all the way through. Is this and to me, the when you meet musicians who've done that, it's really about the love of the technique of it, right? Is that what got you?
Well, it isn't simply the technique. I just music, if you're naturally into music, if you're born to music, it's just a constantly fascinating subject, you know. And there's a very small palette, you know, Western whole tone scale, you know, has like 12 notes in it, and only maybe five of them fit into an average melody. So, you know, eventually you wind up stealing from somebody. It's the interesting way you put things together that results in new music, just figuring out new ways to plug things into each other. So that process can yield almost infinite results, and I've been fascinated by that aspect of it.
And you started almost by default, Todd, as a producer, because when you were just starting off, you were recording albums and the engineer would leave and you'd kind of tinker around sometimes and say, like, well, maybe we could do something different with the board here, and kind of learned by touch.
Yeah, I had the opportunity when we did our first two NAS records to actually be a little bit more hands-on involved, and that ultimately led to me getting a job with the Albert Grossman organization as an engineer and producer right after I left the NAS. The NAS only lasted like 18 months before we exploded. And
when you exploded, you don't mean like the good exploded. You mean you exploded.
It imploded, sorry. And so after a couple of weeks on the street, I wound up getting a job doing engineering and production for artists like The Band and Jesse Winchester and Janis Joplin and Paul Butterfield Band and all of these acts that I had grown up listening to, wound up being a smart aleck young kid behind the board. And got successful at that before I ever did a solo record. So I started out more or less... I started out in a band, then I decided I didn't want to be in a band, I wanted to be a record producer, and then after doing a couple of records, I said, I want to do a vanity project. I just want to do a record for fun,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to quit production, and I don't want to start another band, and I don't want to go through all of that.
Did you want a tour? What did you think about that?
Traveling was fine. I was traveling as a producer. You know, I go to Nashville, London, all these, LA, all these other places. But it was the politics of being in a band that I was too young to understand. You know, dealing with other people in a way that is diplomatic and that sort of thing. So that was
Has there ever been diplomacy in rock and roll?
Kind of why I like being producer, because you wind up ordering people around half the time, but you have the ultimate say so.
Directing a film instead of even just having the lead in the film.
A producer is more like a film director as opposed to a film producer who essentially comes up with the money for it.
But then, when you produced under your own name, when you did your own stuff, I mean, it became huge hits, right?
Some of it did. But people don't remember how eclectic those records were, how there were songs that sounded like they could be on the radio and songs that definitely sounded like they would never be on the radio.
Right.
And most of my records had some mix of that. And it was my third record, Something Anything, that seemed to have the most number, because it was a double album, I guess. But it had the most number of so-called hits. There were like three or four hits off of it. And so that was what simultaneously broke me as an artist, but also locked me into a certain space in the minds of some people. And so the record after that, my fourth record, A Wizard, A True Star, had nothing like that on it.
Well, some of your songs too, I mean, even some of your hit singles, Todd, and people might know, like, for example, you wrote Love Is the Answer, which became a huge mega hit later on, but you know, most of your songs, like, you know, Can We Still Be Friends, or It Wouldn't Have Made Any Difference, these are very sophisticated for pop songs. They remind me of, you know, the more sophisticated Beach Boys era, you know, Pet Sounds type of thing.
Well, they were a big influence. The Beach Boys were an influence. The Beatles were an influence. But there were influences that, in terms of songwriting, were actually a little bit more deeply felt for me because of that whole band thing. You know, like the Beatles, the Beach Boys, those are bands, and so they write for the number of people that they have in the band.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was into things like Burt Bacharach. And that's where that sort of more, I guess, sophisticated pop thing comes from.
Can We Still Be Friends? Can you throw that up here for a second? Because there's something about this song specifically that always got me. Mm-hmm. Because you do something, you use a technique in it that I think when you watch movies like the Queen movie that just came out, right? Mm-hmm. Bohemian Rhapsody. It's so formulaic in terms of the way they make a movie, where it's a guy sitting in a, you know, it's the artist sitting in front of the producers or the record label executives, and they're fighting with them. This will never get on the radio. This will never get on the radio. And I always thought to myself, I'm sure for younger bands and smaller bands, that's true. But I mean, once a band became an arena band, I don't think those conversations ever happened, right?
Well, usually, the artist winds up, once you get a million seller, you've got something of the upper hand at that point, you know, because you have paid off all the money that you owed to the record label.
Right.
You know, that they advanced
We're breaking
you.
Even. We're platinum.
Yeah, we have the power. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that was a feat that not a lot of bands could do.
You know? Thanks.
Can't go on like before, but can we still be friends?
Certainly hear the Burt Bacharach moment there, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird suspensions in it. There, you know, most people write songs that are straight block chords, you know, A, B, verse, chorus, that kind of thing, you know, and all major chords, sometimes a seventh or something like that. Mm-hmm. But when you start throwing all of these weird suspended notes, it sounds more orchestrally influenced, I guess, you know, rather than just, a lot of it comes from writing on a piano as opposed to a guitar, because the guitar only has six strings and some kind of chord formations and bass notes are hard to play, you know, your fingers aren't long enough. But a piano, you've got every note you could possibly play just laying out there in front of you, equally accessible. And sometimes when you're writing a song, that's all you do is you just put your hands down, you know,
right,
and start moving them around.
And you could see that in the 1970s, a lot of the great acts were composed on pianos, because they would have these very lush orchestration, and there was a big production moment then too, right? Mm-hmm. It was sort of a follow on from the almost the big band era, where they would have, whether you were down at RCA in Nashville or you were out in LA, they'd have these gigantic orchestral rooms that you could work in.
Right.
And with lush strings and things like that. And what I always found with you is that you were right in that moment of to Keith Moon, please be quiet. It's an effing opera. You're having like an operatic moment, you know, that, because to me, when you get guys who are like crazy ass rock bands like The Who or The Stones, and then when they go into the studio, they're building these beautiful lush things, right? And that was your era.
That was the power ballad You know, it was no matter, even if you were like a hard rock band or something like that, known for the hard rock, by the time you had like your third or fourth single, you had to have the power ballad, you know, which is the big, lush, lots of background vocals, you know, more orchestration than the band normally has, and that sort of thing.
Something important to be said.
Yeah, something like that. You
major
know,
themes.
Sometimes they don't even let the band play. They just have the lead singer replace the band with an orchestra or something like that.
That eventually led to like Whitesnake even doing a power ballad. No matter who you were, you had to do one.
Yeah, everybody had to have the power ballad, or else you weren't taking full advantage of that market. Mm-hmm. Because the truth about metal bands is their audiences are principally boys.
The girls needed to go for a reason.
And yeah, you needed to give the girls a reason to go, give the boys a way to get the girls to go to the show. They're going to play that power ballad
from Homecoming.
Right. Yeah. So, Todd Rundgren, tell us about this tour. You're here for two nights at Athenaeum Theater, which, and people, when I say that, they get a little confused. It's a 2936 North Southport. Next to this gigantic, big, beautiful church right there, and it's actually it's attached to it. It's a theater.
It's a great venue.
No, it's beautiful, except for the green room and the downstairs.
Isn't that the way?
Yeah, right? It always is.
Remind you of the old days. That's all right.
Yeah, it will remind you of the old days down there. But the theater, for the paying public, they're going to love this place. And it's tomorrow night and the following night. You can go to Todd's website, todd-rundgren.com, to look, or just Google him, Chicago, Todd Rundgren in Chicago, plus the book.
Or Google Athenaeum.
Now, don't do that, because no one knows how
that might send you down a vortex you'll never come back from.
Rattleback Records on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Yeah. Todd is going to be signing his new book as well, The Individualist, Digressions, Dreams, and Dissertations. And this is all small format chapters, right? Isn't that the idea?
Each chapter is one page, and each page is three paragraphs. So it's a very simple format. I did it that way for a couple of reasons, principally probably because I'm not a great reader, and one of the things that puts me off about reading a book is I realize I can't just open it anywhere. Mm. I've got to start at the very beginning and plod all the way through it to understand what would have happened.
You've made a great bathroom book if people still took their books in the
exactly.
bathroom.
Exactly. It's to keep one in the toilet, you know, for your guests, because, you know,
there's a blurb.
And put a one-chapter limit on them, you know, so that they don't...
That's true.
You got to move. Keep moving. Light a candle in there. it is such an honor to meet you, because you have been, I said this when we were getting ready to bring you on, that you've influenced generations of music, and there's a sound that, and I think, you know, Can We Still Be Friends is one of those songs that indicates when you hear haunting versions of that throughout music over the ensuing 40 years.
Well, that was one of my most covered songs, as a matter of fact. It was covered by Rod Stewart, covered it. Mm. Colin Blundstone covered it. Robert Palmer covered it. There are probably some other cover versions that I haven't heard. So whatever it is that you're talking about, obviously it's something that appeals to singers.
They want to sing that, whatever it is. And it was used to amazing emotional effect in Vanilla Sky, in Cameron Crowe's film, in a very key moment.
Cameron's a guy, you know, a great guy and a great fan, and I'm a Cameron fan. And I met Cameron when he was like 17 years old.
Writing for Rolling Stone?
It might have been Cream or Rolling Stone or one of those magazines, and it was like maybe his second writing assignment he ever had. And he followed Utopia out to Santa Fe, New Mexico. We had a gig that got canceled, and so we were just goofing off in Santa Fe.
So you're the Almost Famous Band? Is that what you're trying to say?
You're still water.
Well, he didn't depict what happened with us. Somehow we got a big bunch of mushrooms, and the entire band and crew took a bunch of mushrooms and went out to an Indian Pueblo reservation, you know, to watch the sunset, stuff like that. And poor
animal.
Cameron had to follow us and watch us the whole time, you know.
Oh,
a little notebook.
But he never wrote about it. I guess he thought it was too private or something, you know. But he never wrote about that.
Amazing. What he has done to keep that sound and that is such an important era, keep that alive in so many ways through his work, is You know, you just, every time a Cameron Crowe movie, and some, you know, some are better than others. I loved Aloha. You did not love Aloha, but I loved Aloha.
Yeah. But Cameron didn't love Aloha at this point, but that's still, I love most of his films, that's for sure.
That's probably true. But there are so many, but his use of music, there's just nothing. You know, Scorsese and he are the two greatest in terms of that.
Yeah. So. Well, he's, you know, just been obviously, you know, a huge music fan. It's kind of surprising that he never got into music himself. I mean, his wife was in a band, you know, he would write about bands, like you say, he applies it, you know, creatively in all of his projects. I'm kind of surprised that, you know, even Michael Mann thinks he's a musician. Yeah, because he gets out a synthesizer and just holds one key down, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
but it's his finger.
There are a lot of people who think they're musicians. I think that's one of the problems. All right, but you are truly one, and you are a legend, my friend. Thank you so much, Todd Rundgren.
Thank you.
Go see him tomorrow night and Wednesday night at Athenaeum, 2936 North Southport. Just look up Todd Rundgren in Chicago Google, and you'll find him. And the book signing, if you want to go meet him, Rattleback Records, that is at 5405 North Clark and Foster in Chicago and Andersonville, start Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it. Let's check in now with the news. What's going on with Kim? Yeah, it's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. And Ben, many things happening on Earth, and we have to get you in and out of this quickly because your first newscast starts at 4 o'clock straight up. Isn't that correct?
Actually, just a minute or two before 4 o'clock. Oh, I appreciate you being so respectful of my boundaries, Rob.
Yes. That'll be
on the clock, B squared.
That will be the day. I wonder, isn't that cheating by going 2 minutes before 4 o'clock? How does that work?
Well, I think everyone does it.
They call that the
WGN News at 3:58.
Yeah, everybody does that. And you know what? You got me. I'm part of the audience that knows about that. It's like 3:56. I'm like, put on the news!
Spoiler alert. I believe the 6 p.m. news starts at like 58:30.
Yeah.
So.
5:58:30.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
Let's see what's going on there in 30 seconds. All right. Let's talk about what's happening in the news because there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happening here. Is there any sense of what has occurred here and the disappearance of this five-year-old boy?
Boy, it's an awful story, and we still don't have many answers other than what we've been reporting over the weekend, that this family up in Crystal Lake was very familiar to investigators from the Department of Children and Family Services. In fact, when AJ was born, DCFS got involved because he was born with opiates in his system. In 2013, he was taken into protective custody. He was placed in a foster home for a while. The parents or the mom at some point regained custody. There was an investigation into allegations of neglect by the father and mother in 2018 in March, but DCFS found that allegation to be unfounded. The mom agreed to re-enter treatment. So this family has been on the radar of child welfare agents since AJ was born 5 years ago.
Ben, a couple questions for you. Are the parents, are they not together, and are there any other siblings, I'm wondering?
So there is another sibling, and we're told that sibling has been removed from the home. In terms of their status, there were a lot of emails going on back and forth between investigators and the media as we tried to kind of get a sense of it. My sense is the last email I saw from our reporter, Dana Rebick, was that mom and dad lived together but were not in a romantic relationship. Okay. So, you know.
And they stopped talking to the media, right? Because initially the dad was talking to the media,
The Crystal Lake police say that mom has stopped cooperating with investigators, but we understand that the father did talk with police over the weekend. We don't know the reasons for the mom's decision to stop cooperating. The family's home, according to our Dana Rebick, was in foreclosure. So there was a lot of stress on this family. There was certainly a history of problems with this family. But the big question 5 days later that remains unanswered is, where is AJ? I mean, they have searched lakes, they have searched fields, they have searched the property, they have searched the home. They've been back to that home. They decided to kind of refocus their efforts on that home after police canines determined that he didn't just wander off. There wasn't the police dogs didn't find a scent of him, you know, walking away. That doesn't mean he wasn't removed from the property, but it means they don't think he, on his own power, walked away.
So, if he were carried away, that would be different than walking away. Do we know? Is there a narrative coming from the family of what they think happened?
The narrative was that, you know, they went to bed on Wednesday, and that was the last time they saw him. And then Thursday morning, they woke up and he was gone. You know, it's difficult, right? This family's got a history of trouble. Police are certainly aware of that. They're factoring that into the investigation. The FBI is now involved. But, you know, anyone who's covered news in Chicago remembers how these cases can turn in unexpected ways. You remember Riley Fox, who was, you know, the Will County authorities arrested and charged her father. And only later was he exonerated after they found a guy who had, you know, had a history of sexual abuse of minors, had kidnapped and murdered that little
Janine Nicarico case.
So nobody wants to jump to conclusions. We're being very careful in our reporting here, and we can you know, tell you the history that DCFS has reported to us. And these are all things that investigators are aware of. And certainly, you're right, they don't paint a positive picture of what could have happened to AJ.
Right. And certainly the family is the closest, so they're the first people everybody looks at.
Right.
But generally, when you have a troubled house like this, there's troubled people around the troubled house as well.
Correct.
So that's they have to look at the entire network of, of humans that are coming in and out of there.
And that was a problem. Let's remember, there's another case from Joliet involving a little girl who died. That case has still not been charged. There's been still no one held accountable for that little girl's death. And Ro, to your point, that was exactly what was going on. It was not only were the people caring for her troubled, but there are a whole lot of troubled people going in and out of that house.
Right.
And so that can certainly muddy the waters for investigators.
Absolutely.
So the other story that, totally unrelated, but I still can't quite figure it out, is the Car2Go scam.
Yes.
Now, these were all of these products. These are electric cars, right? That were
there were high end vehicles. So you had Mercedes Benz. So the Car2Go is essentially like an app you can get to borrow high end vehicles.
Okay, so these are all high end.
Yes.
All right. And so people were borrowing these cars. They cracked the app.
Well, I don't believe it's called borrowing when you
steal
it.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Ben, you're
borrowed this $80,000 Mercedes. Yes.
So how did this work?
So we don't know how the hack took place, but what we do know is that as many as 100 Mercedes and other high-end vehicles were able to get taken, essentially. People were able to gain access to the cars. They were able to start the cars and move them. And shout out to CWBChicago.com, which is a great website that's done a good job of tracking where these cars went, as the people who took them posted videos on social media.
Oh my God.
Like, hey, look, I got a Benz.
For free. I'm a moron.
Yeah. And, you know, so we've been reporting for years on the problems of you know, guys going to steal cars, sometimes in the suburbs, you know, where people are a little more trusting and leave their key fob in the car. All you got to do is open it up and take it, and then those cars get used in crimes. So certainly police have been investigating whether or not Car2Go vehicles have been now used in a series of crimes by people.
And then there was a crazy story. I didn't see this on your rundown, so I apologize. I'm dragging into something.
Have you been peeking at my rundown without authorization?
I look at your rundown.
We will have to get you locked out.
Some of it's redacted. Don't worry.
What I do is I look at your rundown. I immediately send it to Rob Elgus over at Channel 7.
Oh, that jerk!
So here's the thing. I was looking at this is a crazy story about this murder that happened on Lower Wacker Drive.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
Yep.
There was I want to exactly call it a drive-by shooting. It was a car pulled up to another car. There were some words exchanged and then shots fired. Mm-hmm. The person who was driving the car who was shot the other car takes off. The shooter car takes off. People go to aid this 24-year-old man who was fatally wounded, dragging him out of the car, trying to do CPR on the ground on Lower Wacker Drive at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, an off-duty police sergeant arrives.
Oh, yes.
And
muscled his way into the crime scene.
Tried to muscle his way into the crime scene. And then cops cuffed him for a moment, and they was trying, don't you know who I am, kind of a kind of a situation, and then they let the guy, then they uncuffed him, and but there was still some sort of, you know, huge like tussle with that,
and the tussle happened apparently in full view of a Chicago Sun-Times photographer who was down there, you know, getting shots of the scene. And it was the Sun-Times photographer who I think had reported back seeing this guy who was identifying himself as a police sergeant, but it was unclear, was he really a police sergeant?
They were able to confirm he was, though.
Yeah, and
the bright one at it again, once again. Your Chicago News, day in and day out.
Yes. Just glad they rehired the photographer. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had that.
That's right, buddy. Yep.
There you go. That's the Sun-Times we're talking about right there, not the sergeant. All right, so we understand, and police are now trying to explain exactly what happened here, because the guy, the sergeant, claimed he had information about the shooting that he could help with.
I think he claimed that he had helped try to save the guy's life or something, but. It's a wild story. Yeah. Wild story. I don't have many new details on that.
All right.
For
okay. See, I knew that was in your rundown. I got a detail for you. I'll call you in a minute.
Oh.
All right, Ben.
Nice to have you two back behind the microphone together.
This is just it happens like once a week, you know.
I know, but you remember we used to do this all the time at 190 North?
My bullpen phone keeps ringing. I might change the number pretty soon. Like, what?
It's the second inning. I haven't even got war. Get loose. Get loose.
Yeah.
Happy to do it. Happy
you
to
get
do
Lourdes
it.
And I all night on the WGN News tonight.
Awesome.
Oh, well, that's very exciting.
I'm a big fan of one of those two.
She's a big fan of one of the two of you as well.
There you go.
All right. I know that's you, Rich, not me. All right. Here we go. Let's. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you at the 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Ben.
Is what we just learned right there. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the top of the hour news? Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Gas prices are going through the roof. One must wonder why that is. Phil Flynn will be here. He literally is our gas buddy, and he used to work for a place called Gas Buddy, but he doesn't anymore.
I always like getting in one question about summer blends, because I still don't understand that.
The summer blends, let me tell you about them.
You know, it's funny. Why does he sound like Wallace Shawn?
Because he does. He always sounds like Wallace Shawn in The Princess Bride to me. I love Phil Flynn. Try not to think about that, listeners, when he joins us.
Oh, no. You see what you just did right there?
Richard, thank you for asking about the summer blend. Maybe you put the summer blend in front of me, hoping I would pour it into my tank. Aha! But that's what I'd expect you to do.
I was just going to quote that scene to you. All right, so Phil Flynn will be here. We'll talk about that because it's almost, you know, some of this stuff is like clockwork. It's like the Monday after Easter, you have to start discussing why the summer driving season is going to be a nightmare, because there's going to be road construction, there's going to be gas price surges, there's going to be all these terrible things that go on. And then God, Lauren is here to help us through all of this, one roadway at a time.
I'll do my best. No promises.
Yeah, well, there are no good solutions. I was on the Eisenhower over the weekend, and Mamie is what was my preference,
my
actually.
Oh, jeez.
I was, and I got to tell you, this project has been going on.
Oh my gosh!
For longer, I think, than I have been alive now. When they started the Jane Byrne, before Jane Byrne died. Remember that?
They did. That's right. She was at the groundbreaking ceremony for it.
And this whole thing was, you know, going to do redo the Jane Byrne interchange, and then getting out of Chicago downtown through underneath the post office and then on to the Eisenhower or 294 or whatever, 290, you know, whatever they call these things. I know them by the names. The kids, they only know them by the numbers.
That's true, actually. Yes.
It really is. But they, and now, you know what I think happened? I don't think they're going to admit this, but I think they missed by an inch.
Oh, no.
I think it's one of those situations where they had to aim the thing kind of coming down.
Oh, no.
And I swear to God, I think they were like, hey!
Oh, like when you used to put together your Hot Wheels tracks as a kid, and they're like, whoa, is this, I can't get it to fit. And then you get that part to fit, and the other part comes loose. You think that's what happens?
Try it anyways, and of course it doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think that's
who's going to notice?
And then you just start to take the track apart and beat your little brother with it.
Ah!
He took the Red Baron, my favorite.
So, that was actually Kevin's experience over the weekend. It was exactly that.
Oh, he's bullying me.
Ryan, take the Brown Derby car!
That's my favorite one. That punk?
So you think they were off by an inch? I think a lot of construction projects get started, and then people forget to go back to work. And then all these cones just sit out there all day, and no one's there. Nothing's getting done. And everyone forgets that the project should even be finished.
I think it's the people who write the checks forget that they're still doing it. Because the people who want to go to work, go to work.
Yeah.
I think they're... Because things just stopped for a while. Yeah. Now they're tearing up everything again. And you're like, didn't you just tear this? Didn't you just redo this?
It does feel that way.
It doesn't feel like there's been much progress made. Yeah.
No.
We need one of those time-lapse things. And it's just like, it's not working. No, it's working. You're just not seeing anything happening on the time-lapse.
And we're 3 years in already, right?
Jeez.
This ain't right.
My Eisenhower administration was 8 years, so let's see if we can beat that.
That's true.
52 to 60.
This will take longer than the entire Eisenhower administration. I think we can promise that. We got Kim Gordon with the WGN News. It's a Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis, Richard Roper in the studio today. Yes. Anna off still for Easter. This is like the one day. I can't quite figure out today. Is today a day off or not a day off?
I know a lot of people left early Friday.
Right. But I think a lot of people, like with kids, you take it into a four-day weekend because the kids aren't back to school today in a lot of schools.
I just know a lot of people that don't maybe necessarily celebrate Easter on Friday. We're like, hey, I'm leaving because you guys got that happy good day Friday thing happening. And I'm like, you mean Good Friday? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy hour Friday, right? And I'm like, yeah, okay, you enjoy yourself. But that's fine.
Right. It was also Passover.
Yes.
Right?
That's
so
right.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. This is you got a lot of marriages and families these days that celebrate both.
Yeah.
Observe everything or nothing.
Yes. I call it Easter over. When did the Ten Commandments come on?
It used to be Sunday night.
It used to be Sunday night of Easter.
Yeah.
Which was Leonard Goldenson's great joke. Leonard Goldenson, who was head of ABC forever and ever and ever.
So true.
Who decided he wanted to throw an Old Testament movie on Easter night.
Yeah.
Take that, my friends, as opposed to the King of Kings.
He puts on
the Moses one.
Subtitled, Jesus, just a nice guy. Not saying he wasn't around, we're just saying he wasn't the guy, okay?
So
that is so true.
Now I think they moved it to Saturday night now, right? And... I don't know if he was on over the week.
I'm pretty sure it's on Saturday now.
It was on Saturday night. I love it because it's to me, it reminds me of spring because the sun doesn't go down until Charlton Heston's hair changes colors.
There you go.
And then it's nighttime. And then Yul Brynner gets all mad and shirtless, and then it's nighttime.
Edward G. Robinson.
Hey, I'm Moses now!
Right? He played it the same as he played all the gangsters he played in the 50s. So I'm like, I'm the bad guy, right?
Here's a good guy, not a bad guy. Phil Flynn is joining us, our old buddy of the gasoline, who now is a senior market analyst and author of The Energy Report at The Price Futures Group. Phil can't keep a job. Let's just face it. Every time I've had him on every year, it's different. All right. Now, you are the guy who explains to us every year what the blank just happened to our gas prices. Because as we head into the spring, it seems to me, Phil, and I know I say this to everybody, and everybody denies it, but over the years, I've gotten very hip to this trick of just because everybody denies it doesn't mean it's not true. But it seems that the oil companies, the gas companies are like, hey, listen, people are going to drive more in the summer. We're going to charge more. Supply demand, baby.
I think that's it. But it also could be Russia and collusion. You cannot leave that off the table.
I have not.
I mean, there's been a lot of the colluding going around, a little bit left and right.
Right.
Fearless leader was seen with, Rocky and Bullwinkle. So, there could be, I think it was Boris Badenov. So that could be part of
it. Could be.
No. It is part of the first sign of spring gas prices going up. But there's a lot more at play here. We've got a strong economy, near record demand for gasoline. And now you have the situation with the Trump administration putting the screws to Iran and not trying to get their oil exports down to zero.
Phil, where's the highest? It's California. I know they really have seen a spurt.
They really have. I mean, above $4 a gallon for the first time in like 5 years. And they've had a lot of problems in California, other than the usual. You know, they had a lot of refinery problems. And believe it or not, all the floods that we had in the Midwest even made their gasoline prices go up in California. And the reason is it's because they use a lot of ethanol from the Midwest. And because of all that flooding that we saw, some of the ethanol production and transportation was shut down. So that even led to gasoline shortages along the West Coast. So not only did they have the typical problems that they normally have with regulations and high prices in California and high taxes, they also had the ethanol issue that drove those prices higher.
Can we go back to the Iran situation? Because this is pretty fascinating. What the president is saying, what the president, by way of his State Department, is saying is that we are no longer going to let all of these guys that we do business with want to buy oil from Iran, right? There were exemptions that were being offered to mostly European countries that were buying Iranian oil because it's easier to ship, right? I mean, it's right there, essentially.
That is correct. Yeah, and the Iranian oil. That made a big deal. In fact, if you go back to Halloween of last year, the market, the oil prices were at like $77 a barrel because President Trump told the entire world, hey, guys, we're going to do this. We're going to, you know, send Iran a message. We're going to get out of the Iranian nuclear deal. We're going to cut off their oil exports. And he told OPEC, hey, guys, you better raise production because this is coming. This is coming. U.S. producers raise production. And then at the last minute, he pulled the plug. He granted waivers to their biggest buyers. It's like, well, what was the point of this? And he created a price crash in oil. I mean, oil prices went from 77 down to 44. He almost brought the stock market down with it. It created this fear thing. And now all of a sudden, he's serious this time. No buyers of Iranian oil get those exports to zero, and it's going to create some unrest and high prices for the near term.
He's serious until his last stop at Mar-a-Lago for the season, and when some oil executive comes to him and says, listen, we need, or some other person comes to him and goes, hey, listen, you know, France got problems. They got to buy from Iran. Let them buy from Iran. Give them an exemption. He goes, okay, good. You know, or he loses.
Somebody sidles up to him at the omelet station. That's all it takes.
Yeah,
is what
or,
you're saying?
Or he misses a putt on 17. Or he's like, all right, this is for a French exemption.
Oh my gosh.
That's right. That's probably what happened because, you know, he was serious about this, and then at the last minute he changed his mind. You're right. He probably missed that putt and then said, all right, fine. You can have your waiver.
We understand a lot gets done in the 19th hole at Mar-a-Lago in ways that we do. It would be surprising to we here in the, you know, the hoi polloi. All right, so let's talk about the future here, though. As we look through the summer, I mean, is there any hope that this is going to get better, or is it definitely going to get worse? And where do you think the highs are going to be?
You know, I think we have a real possibility that here in Chicago we'll be paying $3.25 a gallon by Memorial Day. I think right now we're just below $3 in most places, so at least another 25 cents a gallon. I think the cost of oil, which is right around just below $66 a barrel, will probably be above $70 by Memorial Day. So this is going to put quite a squeeze because it's not just Iran. There's other issues in the world right now. OPEC's been cutting production. Venezuela's production is collapsing. You have a potential civil war in Libya. All of these are big oil producers. It's been driving up the cost. So these sanctions on top of this are really going to keep the pressure on prices moving higher.
All right.
What about that summer blend, Phil? I got to ask you that. I've been asking you that question every year since 1994.
It is. Well, look at the bright side. You know, your car runs a little bit better. The air is a little bit cleaner, but it's definitely going to cost you more money. Okay. So, you know, this time of year, I always think of the Seals and Crofts. You know, summer blends make me feel fine. Right. You know, the bright side is at least it won't be, you know, 40 degrees and raining.
Phil, I'm too worried about the Dolphins getting a six-pack plastic thing around their dolphin nose to worry about the air now. I can only worry about one thing at a time, and I'm getting so much pushback from my family about plastic wrap and
it's
things
terrible.
Like that.
It's terrible. They opened up this whale, and it had like a whole convenience store inside it. It was terrible.
I know. So I got, you know, the plastic.
I'm with your family. I'm going to harangue you, too.
Yeah,
that.
I got to do something about all of this. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I got to go to Starbucks now with my own container, which I can't stand.
You have to live like Game of Thrones from now on. Just one goblet for everything.
I want to know, though, and this is, all right, so since 1994, I've been asking Phil this question as well, which is, what in the hell has happened to the mid-grade and high-grade premium gasoline? It used to be it was 10 cents and 20 cents higher. Now it's now it's like 80 cents and a dollar higher. Mm. Why?
You know, it's the components that go into that gasoline, and more people are using premium.
Ah,
you know, back 10 years ago, hardly anybody had premium in there. You always put premium in your car if you wanted to look cool when you pulled up at the gas station, right? Now, a lot of the cars, because of fuel efficiency, a lot more of these cars are using that, and the components that go into that are actually in tight supply. Add to that, of course, the stricter blends on ethanol and the additives. It creates a big situation. So it's more difficult to make those blends of gasoline, more demand, higher prices.
I got your situation right here, Phil. So do you think we could be for the fancy gas, we could be over $5 a gallon this summer?
Well, if you go to California, maybe, but more than likely not. I would assume that we would be seeing those gasoline prices on the premium side, probably at about a 50-cent premium. So, you know, at the worst-case scenario, you're looking at a 375, worst case. Now, the good news is...
You live in Chicago, Phil. You got to throw taxes in on top of this thing. I'm talking out the door. I'm not talking what it says on the, you know, like, on your paperwork. I'm saying I go to the gas station, I go over by my BP or by Shell or whatever the hell I'm going to, and I go and I'm filling, and I like to move around a little bit, because isn't that a good idea, right? Because they have different additives and stuff, and it's good for your car if you use different products. Is that true?
Right, exactly.
Different variety of Slim Jims and beef jerky inside.
There's
too.
That too,
and I meet new friends behind the bulletproof windows.
Yeah, what kind of coupons they give you at the gas station and the fill-ups when you buy there, and the free soda pops if you fill it at the right place, right?
That's right.
No, that is some truth. But I will say this. The good news about high prices, the price of plastic, because that's made with oil prices, will be more expensive, so they'll use less of it, so we'll save a dolphin if the prices go up. So think of that. When you're paying the high gasoline prices, you're saving a dolphin.
Oh, my God. My daughter was so all over me about...
I think that's fantastic.
About last night at dinner, about just throwing plastic out into the regular plastic thing as opposed to taking the plastic down to some sort of plastic store and having it trading it in or whatever. I'm not even sure what I was supposed to do with the plastic. I'm like, where do you want me to put it? Just give it to me, Dad.
Your own straw out of like magnesium.
Right. Oh, God. God forbid I should use an actual plastic straw.
You used to enjoy the straw.
I love the straw. I still got, look at it, I got one right now. But using the plastic straw, and then the next thing you know, then I even had like one of these, you know, big executive types say to me, these big corporate executive types said to me last week, you know, because I go to those meetings with those big corporate executive types.
Uninvited.
You know that.
Shows up.
And the guy was telling the story about the whale with the gigantic, yard of, yards and yards and yards of plastic inside.
They found
the
shark from Jaws inside the whale.
I mean, it's like, it's a bad situation. There's no question about it. But I still don't know what.
But these new eco straws are horrible. They're like paper. By the time you finish half your drink, it's completely.
Yeah, they have one job and they're
apart.
No good at it. They're not straws.
The opposite of what it's supposed to do.
That's true. They're not straws.
Yeah, maybe you can use the straws to siphon some gas out of the gas.
Here we
tank.
Go.
You know, save a few bucks.
Still advocating breaking the law once again.
See, now that
outlaw Phil Flynn.
Phil Flynn is playing against type here now. Did you see what he just did there?
Yeah.
You know what we need to do. This is like at the end. This is like a buddy film. It's like Phil's decided, here's what we're going to do. One last heist before we're done. We're going to go steal all the gasoline out of one of those gigantic big tanks down in Hammond and see if we can get away with it.
Okay, Bandit. Go get him, Bandit.
All right, Phil. So thank you very much. I think you made it totally clear. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Phil Flynn. He's Mr. Gas.
Yep, he is. He knows everything. That's for sure. He always has the answers, even though we don't always like the answers.
I don't know if I like any of it. Did you see now this other thing? Did you read this today? That your like sweat wicking clothes are bad for the environment?
No. What happened now?
If you have like a like, I don't know, a jacket or whatever, mm-hmm. that, like, it doesn't get wet.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, like, dry fit or the really fancy fit, ones that, like, are water resistant?
Well, there's water resistant, and I think also dry fit.
Is that bad?
It's made with a chemical. There's a chemical that's in the dry fit that is now leaching its way, and they don't know if it's bad or good for you. They just know they're finding it in the environment.
Oh.
They're finding it in your bloodstream.
I thought they're finding it in the people.
They're finding it in the people.
Oh, I don't want my
they're finding it.
It's a leak into me.
No wonder I'm always dehydrated.
They're finding it in the water supply. I think it's through the water supply. Yeah. You're wearing it into yourself, okay. But you never know.
This might be time finally for my unpopular wet fit clothes, in which you look like you've been sweating, even though you haven't done anything, and then everyone thinks you worked out. The new wet fit.
There was a sweeping
the nation.
There was a moment in the 80s where my clothes did actually grow into me, but that was for a separate I just never got off the couch.
Oh, jeez.
That was a problem.
Jeez, you got to watch out for everything. So if you're like lounging around wearing your dry fit while sucking on a straw, someone might come by and just like throw an ice cream cone at you.
Right, you've got problems.
Or you'll get a banana cream pie in the face like those politicians.
No, a recycling bin. Recycle! You know, just like the blood on the fur.
You sounded just like my daughter when you did that. Recycle! You animal!
They're extreme. They're very extreme.
I know, there's a whole thing.
All I know is I just enjoy those recycling trucks, which are belching and spewing out so many fumes while they're picking up the blue things.
I love when you talk. You know what's really funny when you talk to people in the city of Chicago who are in charge of these kinds of things? Well, what are you actually, what is it doing? Hey, listen, this is like, it's a big practice run, okay? Eventually we'll figure it out.
It's 50-50. Yeah. Pretty much the same. No, it's neither one.
Basically, we're going through. We're looking, making sure there's no humans in there, and that's about it.
Are we recyclable?
Well, no, but you know it is
Toilet
true.
Green.
Every once in a while, they find body parts and stuff. You know, at the garbage. You know, like so. Just if you're an axe murderer, just remember throw it in the regular garbage because the recycling people are looking at.
We go in compost.
Now that's a new thing too, right? Did I read that today too? That there's human compost is going to be allowed in certain states.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Yes. No. I mean, it's like I don't understand the straw thing. Kevin is 100% right. I don't know what the hell to do anymore. I get it.
Those straws, forget. Kev's absolutely right. They're absolutely useless.
It's like, okay, I got an idea. Let's make a straw out of cardboard. This should work well.
Yeah.
That thing's completely falling apart, two sips in.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't work.
All right, coming up, I got a family four-pack of tickets to see the Sox take on the Orioles.
Now you're talking.
May 1st. Get tickets at whitesox.com or 866-SOX-GAME. Tune in every Monday for your chance to win four tickets to a White Sox game. Keep it right here.
Sox have gone strawless. Finding straws on 35th and Shields. They were one of the first teams to do it, just saving the environment. No big deal.
Yeah, that's why you have to give the 10-year-old beer, because then they don't ask
sip
for a
on
straw.
This kid.
Yeah, that's how that goes.
It's BYOS.
Oh, they'll arrest you if you try to smuggle a straw in there.
But now you can get your own straw, right? You can get like a metal straw.
Yeah, that's the other alternative.
we got to walk around with a straw.
But you can't get security through security with it. Because they're like, all right, pull over. All right, what the hell's this? What kind of a joker are you? All right.
It's
Kim,
a straw, I swear.
Kim, what do you got going?
Hey, the Sox are looking to crush a few at Camden as the Southsiders battle the O's. White Sox, Orioles, tonight at 6 on WGN-TV Sports.
Not sure how I'm feeling right now about the White Sox. Pre-game comes your way in about an hour here. There are moments where I'm thinking, okay, I see something spectacular happening here, and then there are moments, and this is how I'm supposed to feel now, right?
Yeah.
It feels like they're very close to turning that corner into being a fairly competitive team, at least much improved over last year, but they're right there. Like, they're right there, and the guys that really matter in this whole thing, the Tim Andersons, the Yoan Moncadas, are having monster years.
Yeah, right now. That's
Tim Anderson's
been exciting to see.
Over 400. Eloy's kind of been in a little slump here over the past few days, but even, like, he's 20 games into his professional career, and he's looking like a major league player, so.
He's already got one home run, right?
He's got a couple. Three.
Yeah, and the effort, you know, again, not always the smoothest in the field, but they got great effort, and as we were all there on opening day, we talked about the fact that, you know, they're going to be exciting. There's going to be some games they're up 9-3 and they're going to lose, and there's going to be some games where they're down 9-3 and they're going to come back. They have that kind of exciting team.
Right. Ricky's boys don't quit. That's what they say.
Saw a hawk at one of the games wearing the exact same outfit he wore when he saw us at the convention.
All white,
powder blue jumpsuit. The full jumpsuit.
All white.
Yeah, no socks, the shoes, everything matching. Blinged out like Sorvino, mid-90s.
I don't know what it was about guys from the late 70s into the early 80s that thought that the onesie jumpsuit was a good idea with the gold buckle belt in the middle. But they did. They just did.
Hawk makes it work, I think.
Well, what are you going to do? You go up to Hawk and tell him he doesn't look good in that? I mean, you can't do that. He'll hit you. He'll swing on you.
He's going to get out of bed. There's 10 of the exact same outfits in the closet, right? He just grabs one.
On mannequins.
Right.
On mannequins all around.
That's true.
That all have his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. They have that Hawk profile.
With the glasses.
And
the tinted sunglasses also. Lauren's right. They're always tinted. Indoors, outdoors, nighttime. When he sleeps, the tinted sunglasses.
Now, do you take off your gold jewelry before you go to sleep or not? You keep that on. You keep the bracelet on. What do?
I think you'd probably just pare it down a little. You keep the basics on. One bracelet, the one World Series ring, and the rest go over there.
You know, can we get another Mercy?
Who? Mercy.
That creepy radio guy chiming in as Hawk Harrelson.
And then the gold chain, you know, like the gold necklace. I think you got to sleep in that, right?
I think you keep that on.
Hawk makes it work.
Just don't get behind him in a TSA line if you're in a hurry to get to St. Petersburg.
It's like three bits.
Hold on a second, Hoss. You know, I led the AL in RBI in 68. Yaz was the best hitter I ever played with.
Yes. There we go. As he's taking off every piece of jewelry.
And how long do you think it would be until he just went off on a TSA agent? I'd say like something very minor.
I was thinking,
you got to be bleeping me.
I was thinking of Hawk when Tim Anderson was tossed from the game the other day. Because Jason Benetti, who does a great job, is a little bit more, he's not as critical as Hawk could be. Hawk would just lay into particularly a Joe West.
Well, Joe West
tossed Tim Anderson. I go, man, Hawk right now would have lost it.
Joe West. Yeah, Joe, you're 66. You should have learned by now, no one pays to go see you. He's been umping like that for 30 years.
Although I would definitely pay to see him try and hold back Renteria again. That was
a lot of bad baseball knees on display during that scuffle.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of guys looking like they're about to tumble over.
Guys, it was like a Weeble fight. Yeah, they're all kind of there, and no one can fall down.
You weren't sure if they were pushing each other or just helping each other stand still.
Dude, I just signed a 4-year extension. If you don't hurt me, I won't hurt you. It's so true.
Hold on. I just swung it. I got to get you back up. Hold on. Yeah. All right. Speaking of holding on, Kim Gordon standing by. She's got the news brought to you by Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace. Kim? The Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Anna's off today. I'm sorry she's not here for this mess. Well, you know, it's a Monday after a holiday weekend, and people are still a little, you know, I think we're a little groggy.
I think that's true.
Still digesting all the kielbasa.
I just messed up my own name. See, gurgled on myself.
we started to get into the swing of things on Friday night immediately after the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is how entertaining this show can be. Off the air, the senior management of the entire company came down and hung out with us, Mad Men style.
That was really, it was very Mad Men.
so we showed them that, and I don't think I've quite recovered from any of that.
Yeah,
be honest with you. And then you know, you got the Easter, and I like to say I cooked, but then everybody else is going to complain that they cooked something, and then they're going to blame me for saying that I cooked. Mm. But I still cooked, and had my family over, and fighting started almost immediately.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then it settled down for a few minutes, and then the fighting started again right at the end. You know how that goes.
Jeez. It's always an odd weekend. And, you know, even having been raised Catholic, and to this day, I cannot explain to my non-Christian or non-Catholic friends what the significance is of a giant 6-foot rabbit that somehow stole a bunch of hard-boiled eggs from a chicken coop somewhere and then hid them in the house. I never quite understood that.
They were already hard-boiled in the coop?
They were. And painted with different people's names on them. But that whole idea of that, you can get into Santa Claus and this dude coming down your chimney, he looks like he's half soused. That's one thing, but at least he's leaving presents. You got this bunny that supposedly comes to your house on Saturday night. He's 6 foot tall. He's a biped bunny. He don't speak. He don't say nothing. He never speaks. Have you ever heard the Easter Bunny say? He has no like favorite phrases. Like, you know, be careful, little children, or I'll steal your eggs. And he just leaves eggs. I don't understand.
So there was a moment today. I have to point this. It's visual. Yeah. But when you go home, you can either look this up on the internet now, or you'll see it on the news tonight. Mm-hmm. There was a moment at the White House where this is the Easter egg roll day.
Oh, it's then the Monday. Yeah.
Right, the Monday after. Mm-hmm. So there's the president and the first lady standing on, you know, some portico or something.
Yeah.
And they got an Easter bunny next to him.
It wasn't Sean Spicer this year.
No, it was somebody else in the Easter bunny outfit. Okay. And this Easter bunny that this White House has, I don't know if this has been the same Easter bunny for all of them, but this Easter bunny has... It's got big round glasses,
okay,
and it's got a "oh my god" expression on its face, like it's like "oh no" with that big like open "o" mouth,
yeah,
like, "oh" sort of a thing.
The weird—that's that one variation on the Easter Bunny who looks like he needs going to have to spend a lot of time at the orthodontist in bunny years to come.
Right,
right.
Yeah. My glasses.
Well, I don't know,
and the glasses up, as well, because I thought they had the carrots for the eyesight.
Look up the picture of this, the bunny from the White House today, and there's the president up there going, "By the way, no collusion, no conspiracy." God. He's like doing this whole thing, best economy in human history in America, because going through all of his accomplishments, and the bunny looks is standing next to him like, "Oh,"
because the bunny can't change its expression.
I'm looking at it right now. It's not even like a excited, "Oh my god!" It's like a "Oh no!"
Right. It looks like
the glasses are tilted.
Right. It looks like there's a car swerving into the White House.
So it's like a Warner Brothers bunny.
Yeah. He's very disheveled.
And does the president have his usual like patent leather shoes on, like the that one dad or uncle, yeah, who always was slipping on the grass, never showed up in the right clothes.
Right.
Like, right.
So in a suit, no matter what.
Yeah.
Except when he's
in
playing
golf. Lavenderish, pinkish tie.
Oh. Oh, so you get that going.
I think that's Sarah Sanders in that bunny outfit because he's mad at her.
And then Melania kept wanting to blow her whistle because what they do is they have like lines of the kids. They have this big spoon and an egg, right? And they're like supposed to carry the egg down, you know, whatever the track is here. And so she kept getting ready to blow the whistle for the next heat, and then he would get and do it in front of her.
Was that an actual dog whistle?
There was a story over the week. Did you see the story over the weekend that they got into a fight?
Oh,
at Mar-a-Lago while they were
POTUS
at dinner.
And FLOTUS?
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't hear that.
They sit. This is the crazy thing. This is why the Chinese are trying to get in there. That's why they sent Ming Fu Hulu over there to try to get in and sit down. You know, and like with her tape recording device or malware on her thumb drive, because he sits out there and he discusses all this stuff with everybody who passes by.
Oh man,
he literally will have a conversation. At dinner, people come up to the table, or sometimes he'll go up and ask how everybody's doing at their dinner table.
Yeah, Morty that's got three car dealerships and has a membership. He'll just talk to them. Yeah.
But now there's a lot of people with, you know, internet. Like that's why I was only half kidding when we were talking to Phil Flynn, our gasoline expert, because there'll be people from the oil industry that'll be members of Mar-a-Lago come up to him and tell him to do something, and then he'll think it's a good idea and he'll just do it.
Look, former massage parlor owner had a good seat next to him for the Super Bowl.
Right. You just don't
know
who's
Mar-a-Lago.
Who's going to come up to him. So apparently, people are snapping pictures, right? That's how we saw him over Christmas in the buffet line.
At the omelet station.
That's a thing. It's
the Secret Service must just love that. All that access. Jeez.
It is weird.
So he got in a fight with FLOTUS?
Well, FLOTUS got mad at him.
I didn't know they even talked to each other.
No, they apparently do. They talk for hours. I think they have, I don't know, they have some. There's something going on with them. There's something like, they have, it's not exactly what I just sort of expect, like, you know, they got married, she had the kid, she's got the insurance policy, and then, you know, she's got her parents in the country using the migration system that he's going to cancel now that their parents are in, you know, and so it's all good, right? It's like, and she's going to just sort of be there, and, you know, just as long as she can stay down in Florida and he can stay up in Washington, it's a good marriage. I know a lot of people who are like that. But I think they actually kind of feed off each other. I think they kind of like each other. Which surprised me.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think there's something to them. So they got into a little bit of a back and forth, and you know, I could just imagine the things as a husband he has done to tick her off.
Yeah,
just imagine
porn stars.
Well, That's the least point. How about getting elected president? Let's just start with that.
I think that was the one that really got her. The porn star thing, look, she got a week off.
At least.
Next time.
That, right. Yeah. She get, listen, you get a 2-year pass on that. You get to go. You go get tested. I get.
Oh,
you go to the don't even knock on door. Whatever you think.
Oh, work on the porn hub. Not that impressive. Right,
maybe you can do. Maybe you can find more porn stars.
Oh my goodness! By the way, the Easter Bunny too. If you check and guess where this happened, there was a street brawl with a fully costumed Easter Bunny kicking the out of a guy on the street in Florida. Of course,
saw that.
Did you see that, Kev?
Yeah,
the Florida guy, bunny.
The bunny had a pretty good combo going. The bunny was not letting up.
Bunny was not. He was wailing on them.
Right? Bunny took that guy down.
A couple years ago, I was at an event with an Easter bunny. And
well, there you go. How many of Rose's stories start that way?
It was an Easter brunch, and it was, and the bunny was late. Oh, and it appears that the initial bunny that was invited, there were a bunch of kids there, and I was at a table with a bunch of kids, and we were all waiting for the you know, Easter bunny to arrive, and the kids were getting, and the kids were like in prime Easter bunny age, you know, like 7 to 10, right?
Smoke pouring out the head of the bunny,
right? Now maybe even a little lower. So they bring the bunny in, and they literally had to have a person on either side of the bunny walk him in because he couldn't see. Whoever was in this outfit couldn't see out of the head of the bunny. They apparently just put, they honest to God, grabbed like a homeless guy off the street, put him in a bunny suit, and they walked him in and they sat him down. And his hands were popping out of the, like his arms were popping out between the glove and the bunny arm, you know, kind of thing. Tatted up. How about needle tracked up?
Geez.
I mean, it was like this guy, and he was sitting there, and at one point, he's sitting there, and then the kids are coming up and they're getting something. He was dead out in the bunny suit. He's like, you could see his head. He was no longer, his eyes were lining up with the mesh eyes. His head had tilted over.
Oh, geez.
And he was asleep in the bunny outfit. Either that or he suffocated. I'm not sure.
Nightmares,
one or the other,
for those children for years to come.
Oh, my God. And I'll never forget. And the parents were like, hey, Easter Bunny. And then Easter Bunny wasn't moving. I thought, oh, my God, dude died. There's in the Easter Bunny suit.
Oh, Easter Bunny not smelling so good here. Well, see, that's the thing. The Easter Bunny can't do anything because at least a drunk Santa can go, oh. There's nothing. The Easter Bunny doesn't say anything. Doesn't, was he going to hop?
It's like they gave the guy $20. They're like, hey, here's 20. You're going to sit there for an hour, okay?
Just get it together for like a half hour, man.
You're going to sit there for an hour. And then goes, okay. And then he falls asleep inside the bunny suit. And he's, and you know, the opioid crisis, they're unwakeable.
Oh,
you're never sure if they're ever going to come out of it.
We need a new Easter mascot, like the Easter bear, panda bear, or the Easter tiger, somebody that could do some things.
The Easter bunny always, like, so many kids are terrified of the Easter bunny because it just always looks scary and weird and creepy.
Tell you, look at the White House Easter bunny.
I have.
And you're looking at it and you're like, oh, did you take your pants off?
Is somebody touching me?
It's always been that way. It's the oddest.
The president's grabbing me by the hole.
I feel like they meant to get an Easter bunny suit, but instead they got one of those furry people suits.
Oh, for one of those conventions?
Yeah.
For people who have certain
fetish? What are they called? Furries.
Fur babies.
They are furries.
Okay. Yeah. Furries or fuzzies? Furries, right?
I think there's another
furries,
name.
Right? Actually, our fetish editor is working on that for us right now. He said, yeah, furries.
I feel like Kevin should know. He always has to clear his browser history.
Doing research for the show. The guys were talking about it. I had to look it up.
Oh, yeah, but you looked it up 3 hours before the show.
What about bunny porn? I got to take a look at it.
That's one of the scariest conventions when it comes to town.
Remember when they had the gas leak at the convention and there was a bunch of them just wandering around Rosemont?
In costume. They wouldn't call it costume. In character.
They had to flee the convention center. All these furries are wandering Rosemont.
Good. We better not run into those bronies. We still got a grudge with them.
What is happening here? Turns out that hole has, that tail has a hole under it. And you're like, hey,
oh, no.
Oh, my God, it's cold.
I miss the leprechaun from St. Patrick's Day. At least he's fun. At least he's open about what he's about. Money, drinks, pot of gold. Good luck.
Short enough to be really fun at a party.
Yeah. Dinklage after Game of Thrones.
Throw him around a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in now. I noticed that Kim has stayed far away from this conversation.
She's
and that
wise
was
woman.
Very smart on her part.
I've thought about us for a long, long time.
Rundgren. He was in studio with us in the 3 o'clock hour. And that podcast is up right now, WGNRadio.com. Pretty fascinating stuff, Richard Roper.
That was just a thrill to talk to Todd Rundgren. And he's got such a great history of not only making hits, producing hits, and has been a part of rock and roll. And always ahead of the curve, it seems like, you know, anticipating trends. He actually even did an interactive album at one point where he just released a bunch of sounds and we were supposed to just put them together. Here, have a song.
Right.
You know, all these kind of crazy stage shows and interesting, innovative ideas.
Early on in the interview, I said, well, you know, you talk to guys who are like musical geniuses like he is, and you're like, well, it's the technology of this, and it's really the creating of the music that makes you. And he goes, no, that's not true. And then he goes into a 10-minute conversation about how he creates the music using the technology and the formatting of the music itself, and that's what drives him. And that's true.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's a master technician of music.
Yes, and always kind of ahead of the curve with that. And he had on a shirt, you can see the pictures we've been posting, like it has every type of musical recording thing there has been over the last 50 years, like the reel-to-reel, the 8-track, the
computer
cassette,
screen.
Yeah, all that stuff.
He's going to be at the Athenaeum Theater tomorrow night and Wednesday night. He is definitely worth seeing. That is a legend of rock and roll, Todd Rundgren.
And great live performer, too.
Yep. Go to athenaeum.org. Your guess is as good as mine how to spell that. Or Todd Rundgren's website, todd-rundgren.com. Yep. Who the hell took todd-rundgren.com, I wonder, without the dash in it? Think about
some
that.
Scalawag.
Russian bot.
Yeah, exactly. Putin.
Probably.
All right, you know what it's time for, don't you? Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Secretary of State today at a press conference, he said, all right, that's it. We're not doing business with Iran anymore, and no country that we're doing business with can do business with Iran.
We've made our demands very clear to the Ayatollah and his cronies. End your pursuit of nuclear weapons. Stop testing and proliferating ballistic missiles. Stop sponsoring and committing terrorism. Halt the arbitrary detention of U.S. citizens. Our pressure is aimed at fulfilling these demands and others, and it will continue to accelerate until Iran is willing to address them at the negotiating table.
All right.
Seems like we've been dealing with various Ayatollahs and their cronies for many a decade now.
Right. Now,
the Ayatollah and the cronies.
During the era of the short-lived but snazzily named Iran deal, Iran nuclear deal, it seemed like they were actually abiding by at least the nuclear and ballistic piece of that. Now, since they cut that off, I don't know where they have been on this. But, you know, the problem here is that's fine. It's all well and good. It's very easy for Americans to go, well, yeah, of course, that's the way it should be. The issue that we are going to run into is that Europe is not happy about that. And we have a lot of European allies that go, listen, we had to buy the oil from somebody. And quite honestly, they look at Saudi Arabia the way that some of them look at Saudi Arabia the way that we look at Iran. And it's all the trouble in the world.
Well, at least we can still trust the North Koreans completely. So we've got that going for us.
Checking in at
number four.
Rudy Giuliani. Now, this was interesting. I found this very interesting. He was on with Jake Tapper yesterday, and he said this.
Come on, stop the bull. Stop this pious act that you weren't trying to dig up dirt on people, putting dirt out on people.
Who, Mitt Romney?
When he was running for president, I ran against him.
Right.
So did John McCain run against him.
But he wasn't accepting information from foreigners.
I don't know if he was accepting information from foreigners. Who says that the president accepted information from foreigners? You mean people on his campaign might have done it?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
What a hypocrite.
But why is that?
Any candidate in the whole world in America would take information negative
from a foreign source? From a hostile foreign source?
Who says it's even illegal? Who says it's even illegal? And does the information turn out to be false, by the way? The information that was gleaned and disseminated, every newspaper printed it. Why did the Washington Post print the information that came from a foreign source when they knew it was hacked? Aren't they just as wrong for doing that as the campaign wanting to use it? I'll give you another thing,
But you're saying there was nothing wrong with doing that.
There's no crime.
I'm not talking about crime. I'm talking about
We're going to get into morality?
Yeah.
Well, that isn't what prosecutors look at, morality.
No, but that's what Mitt Romney. But that's what Mitt Romney is referring
to. But this didn't
to.
Become an international scandal because of immorality. It became an international scandal because the president was accused of violating the law falsely, and now nobody wants to try to figure out who did it, because that's the real wrongdoing here. And the reality is...
But you don't think this is immoral or unethical to take...
Well, suppose help. I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to prosecute people for immoral...
I'm not talking about the prosecution.
I'm going to go look at... I'd like to take a good look at Romney's campaign and see if there were any immoral or unethical things done by the people working for him that he didn't know about.
By the time we're done with this Thanks. Interaction, what I am left with from Rudy Giuliani is... The ends justify the means. That doesn't matter if it's immoral. Doesn't matter if the president of the United States is using hostile foreign information to aid in his own political ambitions. This is not about security for the United States of America. This is about political ambition. And that's okay. Well, and perhaps it's always been that.
Yeah.
But is that what we're trying to teach the 10-year-olds?
Rudy G, you know, I mean, his personal life was so juicy. Slimy James Woods played him in a made-for-TV movie 20 years ago. They had it up for a TV movie. Look that one up if you're looking for a guilty watch one day. James Woods as Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah. On September 9th of 2001, the New Yorkers couldn't wait to get him out of office. Remember, he was going through a divorce, and his then-estranged wife was asking for half of Gracie Mansion. Which is the public house. It's like the White House in New York. It's where the mayor lives. It was like the craziest thing ever. But that's not the issue. Rudy Giuliani acquitted himself well during September 11th. He acquitted himself well in other parts of his political and professional life. But I don't want us to fall into this trap that if it all worked out, it doesn't matter how we got there. And that is not okay. It just isn't, because it allows, and I, you know what, for everything that Republicans find themselves making excuses for as it pertains to Donald Trump, not that they won't have a leg to stand on when some faceless, nameless Democrat at this moment does it 3 years from now or 6 years from now or whatever, they'll say, well, this is different because he's a Democrat. But that, again, is why we are on the verge of a siloed, cold civil war in America, where you only believe in your tribe. You know what? The one thing about the Constitution and about the American way and all this truth, justice in the American way, all those things that we always kind of stood by was at least we had one document that was blind and irrespective of political determination, of the politics of the moment. That it was an overarching thing. And now we have, as much as Republicans accused Barack Obama of using it as toilet paper, the Constitution, Democrats can equally, if not greater, accuse the Trump administration of doing the same thing. Yep. And now where are we left? I'm telling you, that musical is not going to save us. That Hamilton musical is not, I mean, you can go see it, and it's good. You got to go see it. But maybe, I don't know, Is that the only way that we're gonna believe in what the core values of the United States are? I don't know, but it's driving me crazy.
Well, even the cast of Hamilton heckled Mike Pence when he tried to go have a night at the theater.
Hate those student loans.
Thank you, Kev.
You got it.
We got White Sox baseball pregame coming your way at 5:30.
And check this out. The Sox are looking to crush a few at Camden as the Southsiders battle the O's. White Sox Orioles tonight at 6 on WGN Tivoli Sports.
So yeah, the WGN lockdown on the White Sox today, radio and television. Nice. Now, here's the important thing. We will stay on the air at WGNradio.com, mm-hmm. WGN app. And the most importantly, if you want to do this, tell your smart speaker to find WGN on TuneIn or iHeart or wherever you want to find it. And then we'll be popping up right there.
And I think we just got the go-ahead for exclusive streaming review tomorrow on the show. We were going to do it Wednesday, but now we can do it Tuesday.
Of the most important film of all time. So
Avengers Endgame.
Lauren Lapka.
Yeah. Avengers Endgame. Lauren has her ranking of her top 37 characters on that. I think she's been putting together. I don't know where I should put T'Challa. Should be ahead of Star-Lord. I don't know.
I don't think I'm qualified yet. I still haven't seen Marvel, so.
Get on it.
Again, I move back from Oregon, and I have no one to see movies with now.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
Oh.
Fishing for a date.
Yeah, you know what? Let me just tell you what a bad idea that is right now.
I've already
that
warned her.
The phone lines are blowing up right
now.
Okay,
hear me out. I could find random people to go with. I want to go with somebody that is invested in the storyline.
I am very invested in the storyline.
Oh, my God.
I would like to take you on a date to go with me.
I'm free just about every night.
Everything you would like to see. I can be over in 2 minutes. Because I'm actually standing outside your home right now.
Yeah, you know, I gotta be very careful about that.
Guys, you all know Zeke from BuzzFilmSpotting.com, one of the up-and-coming film critics. So he gets exclusive passes to the lobby outside the theater for most of the showings.
I've also brought my own zip ties.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Oh, my God.
Number three.
Anyway. Hey, this Curse of La Llorona, how do you pronounce
you
that?
Just,
La Llorona?
Yes, La Llorona.
Opened in first place over the weekend, $26.5 million. It stars Linda Cardellini as a social worker who ignores the eerie warnings of a troubled mother suspected of child endangerment, and it just gets weirder from there.
Yeah.
Your children,
Vincent,
are safe now. But have they heard her crying? Have they felt the sting of her tears? They will.
Oh, I don't like movies like that. I don't want it.
It's a bad movie, but it still did okay because, you know, the kids will love, they'll go out to see those horror flicks almost no matter what.
Everyone loves having a mild heart attack.
Yeah.
I would like to have a heart attack with you at the movies, if that's okay. Any one of you, as a matter of fact. Richard Roper, would you hold me?
Oh, jeez.
All right, checking in at
number two.
Pink is sick and tired of internet trolls making fun of her kids, is what she told Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh.
I won't do it. I'm not posting pictures of them anymore. And I understand people saying you need to be more careful because you are in the public eye and you should have thought of that. And they're right. But there's a nice way to say that. There's a kind way to be online. And I'm open to kindness. Somebody else taught me 2 weeks ago that the word gypsy is actually derogatory, and I'm not a person that uses derogatory language. I wrote back to them, thank you so much for being so kind
okay.
and for educating
me. All right, enough. Fine. Oh, my God.
That's why Cher's only doing Tramps and Thieves now when she does live shows in Vegas. She shortened the song title.
I'm sickened by this entire thing. Like, I'm a celebrity, and I know that I just don't want to put my children on because other people are going to make fun of my children. It's like, shut up!
Then don't do it.
Number one.
Jay Cutler on Very Cavallari says he's got nothing to do.
I really need to be focusing right now on fall, jewelry, little James, and home.
I'm here.
And I have a family, and I have 3 kids. I have a husband who gets no attention.
I just hang out, clean up.
And obviously, like, that's just been challenging and finding time for us.
Well, it's good you're at least aware of it.
You are the last man on the totem pole. You and Bardo.
Me and Bar. God, we were the first ones there, too.
Oh, for God's sake. All right, more of this. We'll play more of the Very Cavallari. I'm telling you, it is the worst.
No, it's actually the best.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
The top five at five.
Don't do this. We got Rickrolled here, and I for one do not like it. The
it's Lauren's favorite song. Every time it comes on, I see her smacking and breaking things out of excitement in her traffic.
That's not what's happening.
My eye has been twitching since last week.
See what here's. Let me just explain for those of you who are joining us right now on the interwebs on the WGNRadio.com and all the different places you can find us digitally. During the commercial breaks, we no longer hear the commercials when we're on the internet because everybody's commercials are different. So when you are listening to this, we go to a commercial break, you're hearing commercials that are designed just for you.
For your streaming platform. Right.
Yes. And the damnedest thing about it is we have to listen to a 2-minute thing. Initially, this thing was created as a 2-minute break, and it's all like a promotional WGN thing. That drove me crazy because it keeps phasing left and right in my headphones.
Okay. I called it radio waterboarding.
Yes, it's what it was.
That says it all.
I swear to God, they should have used it at Guantanamo because
absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Because Khalid Sheikh Mohammed would have given up Within 5 minutes, who would have told us where bin Laden was? It is in Abbottabad. It's better right next to the Pakistan Military Academy.
That's rough.
Two doors down, turn left. I mean, honest to God, it was so hard to listen to. So I complained, as I will do, to the powers that be here. And I'm like, hey, can you make us different music to listen to during the commercial breaks? And they made us this 2 minute. And this, I swear to God, it was designed. This is like, don't complain at Guantanamo.
Yeah.
They made us this. They Rickrolled us.
We'll fix it for you, Roll.
Worse.
So you are who I have to deal with about this?
Oh. No.
Why would you do this to me?
You got to go deal with the program director. You go tell him.
I complained too, and apparently now everyone is blaming me.
Oh, no.
For the new music.
You know, let's see what we can do.
I'm going to blame you, Ro.
You guys remember Chumbawamba? Yeah, let's see if we can bring them back. But no, worse. We're going to disco it up.
The Macarena.
Right. That would be the word. That's what they wanted.
Chumbawamba's on there. Tub Thumper was the song in 98.
I get knocked down.
That's the
but
one.
But I get up again. Yep, that's in there. I've heard it a lot.
Why would they do this to us? What did we do that was so bad that they want to torture us with this?
And you can't escape it. It's not like you could take your headphones off.
I tried.
It was still
two floors down. It was still following me.
And this now I understand why Rick what's his name
Rick Astley.
Rick Astley. I understand why Rick Astley was so wildly hated. Now I totally get it. I mean, but I'm wondering, like, what was it that Rick Astley did that people wanted? What program directors decided that they needed to put him on the radio? Why do I even know that song in the first place?
Rick Roll.
Why?
We'll get through it together, everybody.
Why can't we? Can't we have?
We're on the other side. Before you know it, they're going to be playing it again.
Why can't we have more Todd Rundgren? And that's why I don't take the commercial breaks. So that was the other thing. So once we started on the internet, I stopped taking the commercial breaks because I didn't want to hear it. I was wondering
if you were on one of those radio marathon telethony thingies where you're raising good money for a good cause. I was like, he's not breaking at all.
No, I'm like, normally we break here. What do I do?
I'm going to stay on the air. Like, you know, network all of a sudden.
So I did. And then I heard from the people who run the digital side of the radio station, which is now as big as the broadcast side of the radio station, like, you are going to have to play the commercials.
Why do you make me sound like that?
Because they're the digital people. Because the digital people all sound like the Smithers, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
That's right, Mr. Burns. And they were explaining to me that I had to, we don't get paid unless we play the commercials.
Play the commercials.
And I'm like, you want to listen to Rick Astley?
I'm fine with it.
Is that what you want to do? Rub it down a cerebral hemorrhage?
Tub Thumper was in there. Somebody else, too. Some other hit was in there.
Avicii.
Yes.
Oh, God. Actually, that's the Avicii version of that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a full-blown remix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all remixed.
That's what that is, Avicii. But may he rest in peace.
He had a good ref.
He is dead, right? Isn't he?
Yes.
Dead guy? Okay,
yes.
All right. Yeah. Just, I didn't want to kill a DJ. Just, as long as Deadmau5 is still alive,
kill
I feel okay.
Kill a DJ
okay.
Day.
All right, I want to play more of the I Promise This, and Therefore I Shall Deliver. I want to play more of the Jay Cutler from last night. There was at one point in the show last night on Very Cavallari where Jay Cutler threw when his little kid, Jaden, Jay, what are the kids' names on that show?
I don't know. I just call them Cutlets.
That works. Baby Cutlets.
They keep the Cutlets off the show. That's the one thing.
That's a smart move. Quality, yeah. That's a smart move.
But yeah, he picked up the little toy football.
Yeah, and he threw it and he missed the toy bin.
Just like his father.
6 year old with a pick six. Wouldn't have been great if like the little kid ran the other way.
Won't be, Mr. Cutler.
Won't be last, you little crap.
I'm on the Broncos. Look at me. All right. Let's listen to a little bit more of Jay Cutler.
Remember the last time we just went on, like, me and you went on a date?
I have no idea.
What if, like, a couple days a week during the work week, like, you're like, all right, when the kids go to bed, like, I'm not on my phone. Like,
yeah, I'll try. I'm going to work on it.
What are you going to say to yourself?
Jay is a priority. And then you're gonna.
I don't know if your brain's gonna believe it when you say it like that. I don't feel that confident right now.
Poor
next
Jay.
Time, The Bachelor. This sounds exactly like that. Except they've been married 15 years, and she's got that voice going again, like back when she was a Valley Girl.
At least she isn't doing the upward inflection at the end.
Not yet.
Like all of them, like the rest of them, when they talk about anything. We're having a serious legal discussion, but I'm still gonna talk like this.
So grandma died.
That's exactly it.
She was hit by a train and her brain splattered all over the tracks.
Jeez.
Like, shut up.
It was so sad.
Take selfies at the funeral. Put it on their Instagram.
Hashtag RIP. Hashtag
Grandma had a good
family run.
Grandma wouldn't be dead if we didn't take a picture of her grave.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
Or actually of her body.
The most honest moment of the season so far. They're having a serious conversation, and then Kristen said to Jay, "All right, I'm going to go fold the kids' laundry." And he started cracking. They both broke character and started laughing. And he just said, "He goes, you don't even know where that laundry is in this house. You've never done that." And she goes, "Okay, you're right. I'm just going to go check my phone." Like she tried to pretend for a second, like, "Okay, we've had a discussion.
Mom.
Now I'm going to go fold the kids' laundry." And they both just started cracking up, like when people break character, the fourth wall on Saturday Night Live. And he goes, "You don't even know where the laundry is in this house, do you?" It's like, "I don't. I don't know where it is."
Do you think
it's a $9 million home?
How long will this marriage last? And will they actually film the disintegration of the marriage for television ratings?
I already hear the hatred in the voices, so that's a good question.
Season 3 will be them split?
I think
a lot of people stay together for image, so I'm not sure.
I think it's probably a lot easier to be married to Jay. We're 16 weeks of the year. He's got something to do on Sunday.
She talked about that, right? Like right after football, she's like, "What the hell are you doing around the house
because
so much?"
She is super busy and ambitious, and he's super not and not.
Right.
I tend to agree with Lauren. I don't think these conflicts are all for show. I think that they're going to look at each other one day and go, I'm done. I'll never love anybody as much as I love myself. And either one could say that.
So true.
And that'll be that.
It's like I'm looking in the mirror.
In an ideal situation, a year, whatever it is, like, do you see yourself going to the office still every day, once a week, twice a week, three times a week?
In a year, yeah, I'm still going to be going to the office in 2, 5, 10 years, unless I've sold my company in 10 years. But then I'm like, in 10 years, I'm only going to be almost 42. It's not like I'm going to retire.
Listen, let's pump the brakes real quick.
I'm just saying, but then what? It's not like I'm going to sell Uncommon James and then just sit on my ass all day. That's not my personality.
Then you find something else. You can be my farmhand.
I don't think so.
Why not?
I don't think that's in the cards for me.
I don't think so either.
Didn't she start this precisely for that reason, to find a major investor to give her a huge payout and buy her entire
store? It's taken off like crazy,
right.
In part due to the show.
We're start a store, we're going to make it successful, put it on Instagram, we'll start a show on E, and then we'll sell it to a billionaire investor, make a bunch of
money. They already have a billionaire investor who wants to sell what he's already put into a Chinese guy who's going to be watching this, right? And you know, he and his wife are going to be, you know, somewhere in like L.A. Landing to do another deal, and then they're going to turn this thing on. He's going to show up in a room, and they're going to explain it to him and say, you know, maybe the chain of massage parlors that you have, Mr. Hulu, is not going to be enough for you. Would you like to buy Uncommon James? We make poster boards.
Candles.
And ashtrays, even though nobody smokes here anymore.
But it's vintage, tchotchkes. And we're into that sort of thing.
Tchotchkes.
What do they... you know, I ask this every week, and I still do not have a satisfactory answer. Do they make clothing?
Uncommon James, it's a line of like home good, house goods, right?
Knickknacks,
candles,
that's what
it is. And then the little James is baby clothes and things like that.
Do you know there are now 3 or 4 celebrity stores just like this with the name James in it? I think Reese Witherspoon's store is like something James. There's another celebrity with James.
Draper James, I think, or something like that.
What James?
Draper
James?
Don Draper from Mad Men?
Don Draper.
Well, she did. I will say that. I think she did it in honor of her brother who passed away. Kristen did.
Oh,
the James name.
Now.
Well, so we don't get all the, you know, the Rick Astley fans saying, listen, and another thing. But the thing that fascinates me, guys, is Jay Cutler's, what, 36 now, 37, something like that. And he's been retired for more than a year. And almost every, you look at Tony Romo or other, you know, peers of Jay Cutler's. They retire, and then they, you know, they go into announcing,
Find
or they
purpose.
Go into coaching. Yeah. They also usually do a ton of charity work, and I'm not saying he doesn't, but he's picking up on the grass. You know, he's mowing the lawn, so it's kind of up to him to motivate his ass.
Being a fake farmer in Nashville?
Yeah, he's being a gentleman farmer.
He's clearly just never cared about anything.
Don't
we need to start doing some fun stuff.
I know. I watched you go to sleep at 8 o'clock every night.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Can we? Oh, my God. Now that we're in our forever home, Jay, we can put up Christmas lights on our house all the time. Yeah, we just get them hung up once and you just leave them. You just don't turn them on until after Thanksgiving.
If you think we're leaving them up 365 days a year,
you're... just leave them up. We just don't turn them on.
What kind of... You want color lights or white lights?
I mean, the kid in me says colored, but, like, the adult me trying to just be, like, chic... white.
I mean, the chic adult, you just said leave them up 365 days a year.
We live in the country. I feel like that's who we are now.
You can't be serious right now.
He's from Santa Claus, Indiana. So
true. By the way, a house in my neighborhood sells their Christmas decorations up.
Total violation.
I know.
Don't you call the Illinois State Police?
I think I might.
Ro knows people. In the middle of the night, they'll take them down.
I mean, what are you doing? You got a wreath on the side of your house.
I hate that. That's just wrong. Are they up late or early at this point?
I did. You know, I was driving down Lakeshore Drive, and I was, you know, those buildings like between North Avenue and Oak Street, mm-hmm. all those big, beautiful buildings, and I noticed a Christmas tree in fully lit. And I'm like, okay, these are people who the day after Christmas, they went to their house somewhere else.
Yeah.
Haven't been back yet. The timer is still on.
Went to their home in South Florida.
Right. Wherever it is. And then they're going to come back after Easter. And that's still, and that tree is still going to be up.
We forgot to turn something off.
A murder could have been also committed there. That'd be the other thing.
Right.
So oh, no. Right.
Needed
someone
extra
check
lighting.
That window.
Or somebody never calls grandma anymore. And now it's proven.
Got run over by a reindeer.
All right.
You see those in balconies and high rises in Chicago. There's always one or two that
in light.
They're not
off.
Decorative patio lights. They're Christmas lights.
Yeah, they're those icicle ones.
Hey, I have those over my mirror. Okay.
Well, that's
Marina City has those.
Marina City, yeah.
Marina
yeah,
City has. True. If you look at Marina Famous City, there's always up at the top. There's always people who've decorated that stuff, and I can't figure out why. Why? And it's in the middle of the summer.
Yeah,
they're doing that,
and they turn them on or leave them on
because people like shiny things.
Yeah, but
people are just going to be attracted to it.
I don't, and I'd like to go, and I know who they are. I would like to go. I was thinking of like going to the doorman at Marina City and complaining. I was going to count the number of stories and then figured out which pie wedge they were in, because those apartments are very freaky inside Marina City. Because once you get it, they're pie-shaped. They're literally pie-shaped.
Yes.
You get off the elevator, yes. and you go, the hallway isn't like a line, like most hallways are, or like an L. It's a circle.
Oh boy.
And you just go around the circle until you find your apartment.
Get lost on a drunken night there. I think it's one of these. Yeah. Just keep going in a circle.
Well, in like 1970, what? When did they open? Right around then, right? Or late 60s, early 70s. Yeah. But like, you know, in the early 70s, those were the coolest places in the world. You know, they were always on the posters or in movies you'd see them. But I think some of those hipsters that moved in 72 are still there.
Not hipsters anymore.
Putting those leisure suits on for one last.
Wilco put them on an album cover, so I think some new age hipsters are into
Wilco
the
put them on. Yeah,
now.
They did. That's right.
But big album. I'm going to figure out. I'm going to have the doorman figure out which pie slice they're in.
I'd like to speak with a few of your residents,
right.
please.
Tell them they are totally violating the spirit of the holidays. You must remove the lights. The lights are not special, and they're up all year round.
It's true. It does kind of diminish the Christmas lights.
What does it have to do with Jay Cutler or Uncommon James or Knickknacks, but somehow those have to go?
Do we know anybody who's getting married? We should register them at Uncommon James. Just right.
Not my sister, Dot.
Oh, we can.
Oh, that's a good idea.
We send her stuff from Uncommon James. What about your weirdo radio friends?
Just found some content here. When is she getting married?
September.
Okay, we got a few months to work with here with the Uncommon James.
Like Game of Thrones candlesticks, right?
Yeah.
So they have like, that's what I imagined.
Why did Rose send me a dream catcher? What am I supposed to do with this?
No, it's going to be a bunch of stuff that says, like, live, laugh, love, or all the really cheesy one-liners that
that's what
are
they do with
all
that
over everything.
At Uncommon James.
Uncommon James.
Top level products. Made by 9-year-olds with gnarled fingers in Southeast Asia, right?
All made by her friends whose names all have to
their
end in a Y or an
would
I.
Be brave.
Right. Yeah. Wooden board that just says family with some fancy handwriting.
I'm working in shipping again.
And it's all overpriced.
Now, as we move along to the next sordid story of the day.
Oh, no.
Did you see that Nicolas Cage
Oh, gosh.
His friend of the show.
But yes, he is a friend of the show. We've had him on a number of times.
About once a month we hear from his people saying he's got another movie coming out. It's going to roll out on Netflix .204. And,
he's stealing the Declaration of Independence again in a new movie.
You know, it's funny. He comes on to promote a movie, and all we do is discuss things not related to the movie. He has zero ability to, like me, zero ability to maintain a stream of thought that doesn't veer off into something else. I once spent 40 minutes with him discussing his pizza oven.
Oh, my God.
When we were trying to push one of those, you know, the Constitution's missing movies.
The last time I talked to him for you, we taped it, and then it was unusable. There was 18 minutes, and he just was in a wind tunnel somewhere, and he was out in his, outside of his home in Vegas when the winds were like 120. So it was a nice conversation, but you really couldn't hear any of his end of it.
I got to say that I love Nicolas Cage. He's like a guilty pleasure of mine. I like him in every movie he's been in, even the crappy, like, made-for-Netflix movies.
He always gives it his all, no matter what movie he's in. If you see him in one of these made-for-TV or straight to Hulu, he always sells it. He never just phones in the performance.
No, he doesn't. I mean, he's yes, is there some overacting? Yes, there's some overacting.
A whole four-minute compilation of it on YouTube. It's great.
That's fun to watch.
How'd they get it down to 4 minutes?
Oh, it's great.
It's just him screaming just freaking and freaking out. Scenes,
But he's I think he's a good-hearted guy, but he gets married. But like leaving Las Vegas, he is nuts. Mm-hmm. He is, I think he might have a bit of an alcohol issue. And here he is.
Who doesn't?
Getting married. I know. I should not be speaking of this, but anyway, that's why I love him so much, because I see a lot of me in him. So he gets married in Vegas. I somehow was able to not do that. I don't know how that happened, but I was able not to do it. And now, his ex, soon to be ex-wife, has agreed after a 4-day marriage to
4 days and four nights. Okay, listen,
that they have now agreed. She has agreed to a divorce.
Oh gosh,
but she wants spousal support.
Oh well, she can't go back to Monday. Time has passed. You know. Never going to get those days back. I gave you some of the best week of my life. Mister?
Right. Actually, in this case, it would be the best minutes.
Yeah, I gave you half a week of my life.
Yeah, that's what she got. That's what she got. Now,
what she could have done with her career during those 4 days.
Now, I must admit.
What is her career? It's my question.
Mrs. Cage.
The circus act? What is she? Do we know?
Oh, my goodness. We'll find out.
What she is? Can we find out?
I guess this.
She has
decided on a profession yet.
There's a great picture of her, and I don't know if it's maybe a Botox issue or what it is, but she looks both stunned and angry at the same time.
Jeez.
And
like I don't the know Easter how... Bunny. The same as the Easter Bunny with Melania today.
It is something. And I don't, and I'm thinking to myself, how, I mean, how, imagine the balls on the lawyer. To say to his lawyers, well, she does deserve spousal support. For what? For what? 4 days.
What does that exactly mean? Spouse? I'm not spousal support.
Oh, let me explain it to you.
Yeah, I'm not exactly.
I can actually explain it to you quite
finally
well.
Tune on the whole divorce landscape.
Oh, it's just, you know, I could fill this entire studio in with bleachers of divorce attorneys that I know, but on both sides of the case. So spousal support is that the idea is that you're married and that now the spouse has to be able to live. And in California, it's a particularly tough state for, and New York is very tough. Now, Vegas, though, I mean, you know, Nevada has always been very simple in terms of divorce. I mean, that's what when divorce was illegal in a lot of states in the 60s and 70s, people would just go out to Reno, and you had to live in Reno for 6 weeks, and then you could just declare yourself divorced.
Or, you know, you'd probably get shot first.
In my case, that might have happened. So, there's a codicil of once you get married that you then you have to keep your spouse in the and now it's changed. That's so both men and women can avail themselves of this.
2019. That's
fair. In the lifestyle to which they become accustomed.
Well, geez, you think he would
for 4 freaking days?
Yeah, and he was in Honeymoon in Las Vegas, Nicolas Cage, where he let his beautiful bride, you know, let James Caan marry her. Just briefly, was supposed to be the idea. So you think he would have learned from that, not to mention leaving Las Vegas, which did not end well. They did, Rose Wright, though, they did say that both parties were drinking to the point of not necessarily knowing what they were doing when they marched to the aisle. And now he's saying maybe we could have an annulment and start all over again because he's a hopeless romantic.
Right. In other words, let's have an annulment and start all over again so that my lawyers can separate you from my life completely and I can get a temporary restraining order. Oh. I think it's exactly where that is. Oh. She is a makeup artist, film makeup artist, who has one credit on IMDb. To a short film from 2012.
Oh, it wasn't one of the Ghost Rider movies or even something that you can see. Well, at least it was good work.
Yeah.
So. A short film she did?
So there you go.
I got to avoid this whole marriage thing for a
short
while.
Film,
sounds like a dangerous area to dive into.
Kev, don't worry about it. Rich and I have got you worked out here.
Okay, good.
Uncle Rich and Uncle Ro got you worked out. Now, jeez. Uncle Rich has done it the right way the whole time. Never got married. Uh-oh. Right? As far as we know?
No.
Yeah, I've been married a few times.
Yes.
Yeah. I've heard the stories.
Mm-hmm. And my lawyers, my accountants, my agent, Bubby darling, sweetheart, listen, you cannot do this again. No matter what happens, no matter how much, no matter how great, whatever you think, it's not going to work out for you.
What a beautiful institution, marriage.
Yeah, it's been great. It's really been great.
Yeah, I put it off for a while.
Yeah.
My parents all weekend, there's just kids, there's babies everywhere. Me and my singles were like, this is the best birth control I've seen in a while. I'm not getting involved with this for a long time. Yeah.
They're lovely, though.
They're great for being an uncle, because it's just get the fun part, and then, you know, I'm like, I'm not changing diapers.
They start crying, you hand them off.
Right. Like, I gotta go.
Just place them gently on a soft pillow or sofa if a smell arises. And so don't even say anything. Yeah. Someone will figure it out. Yeah. Just tiptoe away.
I've found ways to avoid that.
Two rooms down. Hey, who left the baby on the ottoman? You're like, you come out. What happened? I was in the bathroom. Happened? What?
I was watching him, I swear.
They're fine.
All right. Well, let's do this. Actually, I'm going to have Kim just do the news here. And then on the other side, we're going to rickroll ourselves. And sweet Lou Kanellis is going to be here.
All right.
Well, I've got some questions for him.
I'm such a draft nerd.
I'm worried about the Bears.
Already.
Well, he's here to talk about the draft. Okay. And everybody here, everybody's a sports fan. Everybody has an opinion.
No shortage of those.
Right.
On the Rokan show.
That's right. Opinions are like keisters. Everybody has one, and most of them stink. Mm-hmm. So here's the issue. We will be discussing whether the Bears are going to go 12-4 for the regular season, 10-6, 8-8, or 2-14, which I think is a possibility, too. We'll talk about all of that. And what the Bears, did you see the story? They're going to draft a kicker. Don't you learn that in fantasy draft school? Never draft a kicker. Isn't that the first thing that you're supposed to do?
I hope he's not one of those guys that played rugby his whole life and then just 1 year of college.
Those guys can kick the ball, though.
Yeah, they have to run for 20 yards first.
All right, here is Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN news. With Anna DeBlasis, WGN everywhere and nowhere all at the same time. That's the beauty of it. If you're listening to us, you know how to get here. Tomorrow on the program, on the internet version of the program at 5:30 tomorrow, Mr. Richard Roper is going to be reviewing the new Avengers movie, Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
Which you have seen?
No, I'm seeing it tomorrow morning's show. It should end right around 5:30 tomorrow night because I'm seeing it like
3.5 hours.
It's a 3:01 they're listening at right now. But you can never get out of your seat because even though it's the end game, after they show the 500,000 people who worked on it, then all of a sudden there's a little Easter egg. And then there's a second Easter egg. And it always involves Samuel L. Jackson meeting somebody else in the desert. And then some weapon shows up and only people like Lauren know the significance. Mm-hmm. And I'm always going like, I don't know what that means. And they go, don't you realize the yellow claw from the alternate universe could be coming back? Like, no, I don't realize that.
See, this is why it's so important to go with the right people to these kind of movies.
Yeah, well.
You want to be able to freak out and look at the person next to you and they're like, yeah. Instead of looking at someone, they're like, what?
God, yeah. I remember about 10 years ago, I was like, oh, there must be a Thor in this universe because a big hammer was in the Easter egg scene. And I'm like, oh, that's a big hammer. Is Armin Hammer baking soda involved? And I'm like, oh, that's right. They had a Thor.
What?
It's very confusing.
So that now, can you just, you know, for the, I'm sort of in the passive category. Okay. I go to these films. I enjoy these films. I want to see them in the theater because they're designed for that big effect. And But I didn't see the last one.
Neither did I. I've seen most of them. What's right. So,
Lauren,
we can walk them through.
So, yeah, first of all, it's on Netflix. You have no excuse.
Hype me up here. What's like? Why is this such a big?
So what happened? It was Infinity War was the last one, right?
Yes.
And that was the one where they all got
together. They officially all got
together, including the Guardians of the Galaxy and the Black Panther, because Thanos is such a gigantically powerful villain. They had to band together, right?
Which he's originally a part of Thor's universe, so he's this godlike creature and huge. So you're
played
already
by Josh Brolin, by the way.
What's he so mad about?
Well, he has this he has this idea about population, and he wants to address overcrowding by getting rid of half of the population,
like Donald Trump,
exactly.
Which really is not a bad idea. There is a problem. How do you address it? But at the same time, you can't just
randomly
go to genocide
for
the answer.
In his mind, like most villains, think they're villains.
Wait, I mean, he's
doesn't
really
think
glad
he's
you
a villain.
Clarified that. Yeah,
it's true. He does not think he's the villain. He believes the entire universe, all the galaxies are going to perish soon because there's not enough food and water
no
to
matter
go around.
What,
so
we're all gonna
we
die
have to half the population now, and he does it, and he thinks he's doing it in an arbitrary, kindly as you can, because it's just random, right? Mm-hmm. And so, sorry, folks, this was a couple years ago. Spoiler alert, at the end of Infinity War, incredibly, we saw many of the major characters disintegrate before our very eyes. They're dead.
They had a good run.
So now the question is, will they bring them back?
How do they get them back?
But I'm going to guess, if you take a look at the poster, they're all on the poster.
Right.
I mean, there's only so much room on that poster because you got, the Hulk and everybody else. But we do believe that some of the characters will die and never return. Some of the actors and some of the characters.
May I ask
in Endgame.
Until they reboot the genre again in 10 years.
Well, Disney owns Marvel.
Okay.
And Disney also, spoiler alert, owns theme parks.
Heard about that.
Now, would it not make a ton of sense, since they own all of Reedy County, Florida, and they have nothing but acreage upon acreage upon acreage of a swamp that they can build on, that they, on the other side of the parking lot, since you don't know what's on the other side, that they build like a Marvel world.
So here's the thing. Universal Studios already has a Marvel section. You know how they have Harry Potter?
Right.
So they have the whole Marvel area with the Hulk ride.
Right.
I think they have another new one. But I agree. But how do you go about fixing that little area to move over to a whole new world?
I think they just take it away from them. They say that you no longer have the... I mean, they must have cut a deal on the sale. Because actually, as an adult, I find that Universal's...
It's the best.
I shouldn't say this since I still have Mickey Mouse on my paycheck, but I found myself very much enjoying the Universal.
They've always
theme
had
park.
A wonderful
that is,
theme
that is
parks.
Like my home away from home, because you got Jurassic Shocker. Park, you got Marvel, you got Harry Potter. It's everything I love in one little collection.
You got Emeril Lagasse. That's the most important.
Yeah,
you got an Emeril Lagasse restaurant there. You're like, okay, I'm it.
I love Emeril.
Yeah.
Well,
I did too.
So Endgame, I'm going to see it tomorrow morning, and then we will review it Tuesday here. We can have a nice long talk. And it is already on track to break the box office record, biggest opening, and will probably make
$2 billion.
It's going to beat Star Wars?
Well, because of advanced ticket sales. Yeah,
okay.
Because of advanced ticket sales right now.
Nate Silver has some equation to put together.
Some of this. Yeah, actually, he does. and some of the other geeks here tried to go online and buy tickets, and I always think it's a little bit of a gimmick. We're like, oh, the website's down. Oh, Fandango can't handle all the ticket sales. But it's pretty tough right now to get a ticket for opening weekend for Avengers Endgame. And unfortunately, there'll be some jerks ruining it
online. Oh, my gosh. Why do they do that? Especially Marvel people.
Freaking jerks. Worst,
yeah. They love to ruin it.
What's interesting is that the embargo on reviewers reviewing it and talking about it has been moved up, so it's right after you're out of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, if it's starting, and I could be wrong, but I don't think there have been advanced screenings. I'm sure a few people have seen it quietly, but there are no reviews up on Rotten Tomatoes. And if it starts at 11 o'clock Chicago time tomorrow, and ends at 2 o'clock and the embargo is at 5 o'clock. That's giving critics enough time to get to their offices and write their reviews, pretty much. And I think that's a smart move because it's going to leak out anyway. Why not get the professionals? And, you know, these movies are generally very well reviewed. Very few of them have not been critical hits. I mean, Black Panther, probably the best reviewed of them all. So why not also, on top of the fan interest, say, look at this, it's 96% fresh. I can guarantee you this, if it could be the best movie of all time, at least one guy, and it will be a guy, will give it a negative review. Because every movie out there, whenever they say, hey, this movie's 100% Rotten Tomatoes, all of a sudden a guy at imangryandbitter.com files a negative review so he can be the guy.
And yet it's not going to make a difference. People are still going to go see it.
These movies pretty much are critic-proof. It's fun to weigh in on them and get the response. But, it's the smaller films that the critics can really influence. These movies are... The people are going to go in no matter what.
You sold me. You said the Infinity War is on Netflix?
It is.
All right.
Got to go
and
watch it.
You know what, people... that's another thing. So many people... A lot of people actually have been watching all of... How many, Lauren? 17 or 18 or 20?
I thought it was 22.
You know, a lot of people have been doing that, like building up to it. Well, you got to go all the way back to Iron Man was almost 20 years ago.
The Iron Man movies are great. I loved all of those. I've offended him.
Is he going to defend Iron Man 2 with Mickey Rourke? Right?
Oh, I love that one. Because I like Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, even Robert Downey Jr. looked bored in that one.
I tried to dip my toe in this whole thing, you're an idiot. You know nothing about anything. Stick to sports, dummy.
One was good, two was
That's why I don't even try.
Yeah,
three was okay.
And I tried to be four actually got better. The first story, Natalie Portman was falling in love with them halfway through the movie. We're like, oh, Natalie, go do a serious movie. Go be a ballet dancer or a spy.
Yeah, go make out with Miley Cyrus.
Two was one of the best movies I saw in theaters at the time.
Thor 2?
Right. Just the effects. I was like, what am I watching? This is awesome. Yeah.
And then the Guardians movies, a lot of people didn't know about that universe, but they cast that so well with Chris Pratt and everybody else and your boyfriend Bradley Cooper as the voice of the raccoon. But those were such a light, fun touch, and then all of a sudden they joined the Marvel Universe in the last movie.
The last one that we have to go watch on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the first time all the different worlds are coming together.
That one, even if you haven't seen the other ones, if you watch that one, you will get a lot, because even the Black Panther universe is in that one, Wakanda Forever.
I mean, this is like Wakanda comic book porn for like all the nerds out there, right?
Well, it's kind of fun. It's like Roe always talks about like the old Batman TV show, and it was always kind of fun, like if the Green Hornet showed up, and it's fun seeing these Marvel Universe characters learning about each other. The Hulk never knew about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark never met Black Panther. Right. You know, they're all meeting, so it's always fun when they all meet. It's like the old...
What is your definition of fun?
Let's put it this way. When you're playing video games, any sporting game, when you could put all the superstars on one team, that's what it is.
Remember when you play electric football, you put Carl Eller on the Bears just so they'd have a better defensive... Luke Kunaus is joining
us. Perfect segue, Richard. Thank
you. Or like
this,
when the college all-stars would play the NFL champs at Soldier Field.
Get me out of this comic book, you know, mess, Luke. Can we get talk football, please?
Whether or not Archie Griffin could run against, you know, Mean Joe Green.
All right, let me set this back up so that we have two totally distinct podcasts out of this.
This is like the Marvel Universe colliding.
Yes.
Great.
All right. Sweet Luke Kanellis is joining us right now, and we are going to be discussing the great import of this draft on our beloved Chicago Bears, which is going to be negligible, some might argue. But perhaps the most important draft ever that starts in the third round. And I will ask you this, Sweet Luke Kanellis, because the Bears' schedule has now come out. And they are taking on the Avengers universe throughout their 16 regular season games. I mean, there are people that are like, oh my God, this team's going to go 10-6. As great as they are.
Vegas has them at 9.5.
As the overall.
And you know how Vegas works. Vegas is hooking the fans in, hoping that those fans go for the over.
Absolutely.
And listen, Vegas wasn't built because they were a bunch of dummies
out
there.
You got that right, Lou. Although Lou was, I got to say, last year, preseason, he had the Bears doing very well, better than most prognosticators. But, Lou, I don't know if you saw Rick Morrissey in the Sun-Times. He went through it game by game, and I was talking to Roe earlier. It really is, he has them going 10-6, but at one point he has them at 4-4. And it's very plausible because of the teams they're playing.
Yes, your thoughts.
Oh, six first-place teams. That's all I have to say. Yeah. Six first-place teams on that schedule. So it's tough. Mm. It's tough from the start against Green Bay to the very end against Minnesota again. Mm. That middle-of-the-season portion of the schedule where they have
the Saints, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Lions, and then the Rams. Mm. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. The only team they're missing is New England. It's the only
Thankfully.
Team they are missing is
Thankfully.
New England on this schedule.
Yeah. There's two or three.
Well, there's two for sure, surefire Hall of Fame first ballot quarterbacks they're going up against. And with Rodgers, it's two games, and then Drew Brees. And then you've got a lot of all-star quarterbacks and guys, Phillip Rivers and Mahomes. I mean, they got gunslingers left and right. But here's the thing. All those teams have to play the Bears.
You're right.
What about that?
And arguably the best defense in football. It was last year. And there's no reason not to expect it to be the number one defense again in football. But, Ro, you brought up a good point. Draft is coming up on Thursday. Starts on Thursday. Bears aren't expected to pick until Friday in the third round. But, I believe knowing Ryan Pace and knowing the way he's worked the draft the last, 4 years he's been on the job now, I expect him to make a deal.
Really?
I expect him to make a deal and move up in the draft.
What do you think? Second rounder, maybe? Or?
Yeah, I do. Okay. I think that Ryan Pace is one of those guys, he showed us with Mitchell Trubisky, that he focuses on a player. Mm. He has a guy that he wants, and if he feels like there's a run on running backs, I think they'll go running back after the Howard trade. Mm. If he feels there's a run on running backs, and he is focused on a running back that could potentially be drafted before he selects at 87, he'll make a deal. He's got two second-rounders next season. No first-rounder, again, because of the Khalil Mack trade. But he's got two second-rounders, and he's got some compensatory picks that he can deal as well, depending on the seasons that Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan have. We don't know how high those picks will be yet. But he's got some ammunition there, and I feel that since he traded Jordan Howard to the Eagles, he went out, he signed Mike Davis out of Seattle, spending $6 million for Davis. So obviously the scouting department and Pace and Nagy see something in Mike Davis that I haven't seen yet. Hmm. Then again, truthfully, I haven't seen enough Seattle Seahawks football over the last two seasons. But I think he'll see a running back. Yeah, it's always raining. But he sees a running back, and I think he'll make a deal and move up if he thinks that running back will be gone by the time he selects at 87.
And what I like about Ryan Pace over the past few years is he realizes that it's a window here, and you never know how quickly it's going to shut in the NFL. You saw how aggressive he was when he identified a quarterback he believed could be a franchise quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. He said, I don't care. I am trading whatever I need to trade to get up and make sure I get my guy. He did the same thing with Khalil Mack when nobody around the league was able to pry away an edge rusher in his prime, which is unheard of. Yeah. So I'm with you, Lou. I wouldn't be all that surprised if he does identify a running back, because I'm expecting them to go running back, right? I mean, would you be surprised if they went any other position?
Well, they could go cornerback.
Defensive back or running back,
yeah,
right?
They can go cornerback. I mean, they lost Amos, so they could be looking for depth in that defensive secondary. Prince Mukamara is going to be 30 years old this coming season. So
he's also in the Marvel Universe.
What about Eddie Jackson? Eddie Jackson's in the Marvel Universe.
Yes, well, he actually is the way he's been playing.
So they have some opportunities to go cornerback as well. I know everyone wants them to draft a kicker. I think they should pick up their kicker, an undrafted kicker out there instead of wasting a draft pick on a kicker. I just don't believe in drafting a kicker. And I also think that potentially tight end.
It's an antiquated look at this, because I have found, the kicker, at least in fantasy, the kicker, you get a lot of points out of the kicker. So, especially if you have bad choices in other, at other key positions.
Right.
So, listen, that is the most important thing. That's the missing one component that they absolutely cannot afford to miss on this year.
They only have one need, which is a good thing, because you enter a draft, you don't necessarily have a major need. You don't need a quarterback. You don't need a linebacker. They have the core.
It's been a long time since you've been able to say that about the Bears.
And now you're just adding pieces, but the one need is to figure out the damn kicker position.
And you don't trust Blewett?
Nah. It's unproven. You don't know what you have
in your
kickers.
That just sounds, when you say it that way,
Blew it.
Not his fault.
Okay.
All right.
That's haunting.
It's a nightmare.
Anyway, they could just
widen the goalposts at Soldier. No one would notice. Like just a couple inches.
I got a guy.
Chicago way.
I got a guy. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I got it.
It's an angle. You're seeing it at a different angle. That's all.
We got to figure it out.
That'd be amazing.
Can I just share this story very quickly?
Yes,
I have a friend who says it back in the late 70s. He worked. He had a they worked some of the dock work at Soldier Field.
Okay.
And the Raiders were coming into town to play, and it was in a November game. And the Raiders, those big, like...
Fans?
No, the big, they're like those big capes that they would wear. You see them for like the 70s.
Yeah.
Like for the snow and rain and stuff like that. And they had the hood that went over the helmet. Yeah, and they got the big cape that goes over. Uh-huh. It was like in all those things of the 70s, you'd watch these guys.
Howie Long like, wearing that big cape, standing on the sideline.
Ted Hendricks.
The capes got lost at O'Hare on the way back
in. That's unfortunate. I hate when that happens.
And they were sent to, you know, special delivery to Soldier Field to arrive right before the game.
Oh,
and then they happened to get lost.
You got stuck in a little traffic on the way downtown.
They ended up getting, they got a little lost on their way from the parking lot in Soldier Field over by, you know, over to get into the
gate. Fantastic.
And it was like a sleeting, like 28-degree game, and they did not have their capes.
God forbid a Kenny Stabler gets a little cold on the sidelines, can't go out there and sling the ball.
Be a real shame.
Yeah, it would
hate to see it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're like, hey, I know they're asking. Did anybody check over by gate 5.5?
Moving truck parked outside a bar, two guys just sitting there drinking beer, watching the game.
And after the game, some other guys got game balls.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Oh, my God.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's a great story.
30 years later, they're cleaning out Uncle Rocco's garage, and there's like an Oakland Raiders.
Mom, what's this?
That giant Raiders jacket thing.
That is outstanding.
I believe that 100%.
Teamwork.
So anything can happen. But I go back to this. So the running back, do you think that a running back is... how would you feel if we don't have, going into camp, the roster's the roster here at running back?
I'm worried. I thought the Jordan Howard move, and I still believe that the Jordan Howard trade was a bad move. I just, you know, what you've done is you have traded away an insurance policy. Even if you think that Jordan Howard wasn't the right fit in this offense, which I would argue, well, how come he's the right fit in Philadelphia's offense, which is the same offensive scheme,
why did the Eagles take him,
but he's the wrong fit in the Bears offense? I don't understand that. Matt Nagy does. It's his offense, and after what I saw last season, why would I doubt him? But I think that what they've done is they have removed a very valuable insurance policy should Mike Davis go down, should Tariq Cohen go down, then what?
Should Trubisky go down, and they got to go to more of a running game for a couple of weeks in the middle of the season, right?
Listen, if Mitchell Trubisky goes down, they're in trouble.
Just as any other starting quarterback went down in the NFL.
Other than, you know, every team can lose its starting quarterback and be in big trouble, except for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Somehow
the Eagles end up in the Super Bowl still, or at least in the NFC Championship game. So I think it's a bad move. I thought it was a bad move when they made the Howard trade.
Foles is gone now.
Yeah, well.
Foles is gone now. Any names, running back names that you've liked, as you've done your prep here for the draft, any running back names stick out for you?
You know, I don't know. I hate getting caught up in the names. Travion Williams, who played at Texas A&M.
Is
an opportunity. Iowa State's David Montgomery. The Oklahoma State kid, Justice Hill. Would be a nice selection. Daryl Henderson, who played at Memphis.
I think that backs up Lou's point, though, and is the reasoning about, first of all, there's four or five or six, maybe even more running backs, and nobody's picking a running back early in the draft.
No.
And
I guarantee you, not one running back will be selected in the first round.
All kinds of interior linemen, which speaks to your theory that the Bears trade one of their second round picks, move from next year, move up, and they've got their eye, and they realize even if three or four running backs go, there's somebody that they, I think that's what they're thinking, that they're going to get a guy.
Can I ask you a question as a former sports anchor and reporter yourself? What is the dumbest thing Lou Kanellis has said so far in this conversation?
I don't think anything he said is dumb, but one thing that I have been thinking about, I've been seeing a lot of people think that what we need, since there isn't a huge need, is more support for Trubisky. So what position is that? Is that having another running back? Is that adding someone else to the line? I don't know what people are thinking when they say that, but I agree at the same time.
Could be speed at wide receiver. I mean, some people feel that they need more speed at wide receiver, and, you know, you can't teach speed. But in my opinion, they went out, they signed Cordarrelle Patterson.
I love that signing.
Who brings them great speed and size at wide receiver, and they'll line him up at receiver. He'll be a kick returner. He'll also be in the backfield as a running back at
times.
He'll
line up as tight end for the Patriots on a
he'll
handful of plays.
He'll be all over the place,
see,
Kevin.
That sounds like a good acquisition.
Taylor Gabriel.
And Nagy loves guys
Turbo.
Like that. I mean, look what he's done with Cohen. He puts him out as receiver. Right. Yeah. He loves the versatility of
So I'm just not sure that wasting the number three, you know, third round pick on a wide receiver that'll bring you more speed is the right move. Now, I think that they also like Javon Wims, who, you know, didn't see much action during the regular season, but had as good a preseason as anyone.
Okay. Right. Wasn't he?
Big target
squad.
Drafted him last year out of Georgia in the sixth or seventh round. And
he's big.
He's a big guy. He's a tall guy.
Not great speed, but big. And he gives you another big target alongside Allen Robinson.
His fellow receivers hype him up all the time. They always talk about it. Like, I remember the end of season, we were all out at Hallis Hall, and they were like, there are guys you haven't even seen play yet that we think can be contributors to this team. And I think what they were talking about, Javon Wims. A lot of them are high on
those are always great stories when someone like that, who was a late or middle round pick, finally gets his chance and impresses his teammates in practice and has all the right attitude and work ethic, and then he gets his shot and has a big game. That's always really cool to
see. Who's the overall number one pick in the draft?
I don't think Kyle Murray is going to be the number one pick.
Really?
I don't.
Wow, really?
I think that
they trade that pick and somebody.
I think they trade the pick because here they'd like to trade Josh Rosen, but no one wants Josh Rosen.
Like, what's the value for him? Nothing.
So they're kind of stuck with him.
Unless you want an accountant in the office.
Oh my god,
what are you going to do with him?
Too soon.
So do you think they trade him? Bosa?
Wow. What's that?
You think Bosa goes one then? Nick Bosa.
I do.
A defensive end.
You
do.
Even though Nick Bosa, to me, it's the greatest crime in the history of college sports.
Big Ohio State guy.
Every game, Rose, like, if Bosa was out there right now, we'd be up by 100 points.
Yeah, there was. I have great unhappiness about how that whole thing went down. It just tells you that the college football is getting a little bit like college basketball. It's really just about playing yourself into a position for the draft.
He did get hurt, though. It's not like he just sat.
No, he did.
There.
He did get hurt, but it was. But then he
had the opportunity to come back, and he didn't.
It's right.
True. Well, that's why.
I mean, that sucks. Speaking of it, that's why it was so impressive that Zeke came back with Duke after his blowout thing.
And
was amazing.
You know, I love his attitude. He's like, I'm not sitting out. I'm not letting my boys
sit out. I mean, now the game of football is a lot, you know, the injury risk is far greater in football than it is in basketball. But I agree with you, Rich. How much money did Zion Williamson risk by going back
out there? And he was either diving for loose balls and crashing the boards.
Absolutely.
He wasn't playing tentatively. That's
Nick Bosa, it was a non-contact injury.
It's a groin thing.
He got a little groin thing. So he goes down to Mexico
the
and they start. Camp.
You got to know that by now.
They give him the Mexican massage or whatever.
He gets the full craft.
And he's done. He's good to go. The thing is, I didn't like that. And I got it. And then Dwayne Haskins leaving the quarterback, and everybody's going, well, he's going to go.
Oh, what, you guys got only the top overall rated prospect transfer to your team.
I want to tell you something.
Next season, he doesn't have to sit out a year.
I want to tell you something.
That's Buckeye football for
you.
No,
that man had to transfer because he felt that he was being insulted more in Athens, Georgia than he will in Columbus, Ohio.
Well,
I'm just saying, you go from Haskins to the top guy.
Whatever.
I feel bad for Buckeye football. They never can get a break.
Haskins is dropping on many draft boards.
I know.
Maybe
go
to the Dolphins.
I think Haskins goes low in the first round.
I don't even think he's worthy of a first round pick.
Wow.
I think it's going to be
not
some
a strong year for the quarterbacks. One of them will turn out being better.
Well, yeah, because teams are desperately in need of quarterbacks, so someone's going to take a chance on them.
I mean, look how crazy it is where the Cardinals had, they took Rosen with what pick last year? And they're already, it appears, they might be moving on from the guy and going with Kyler Murray.
Well, Elway, you can always be counted on to pick a big, dumb quarterback who throws really hard and doesn't know how to hit anybody.
And has an awful attitude.
It reminds him of him.
That's the biggest problem with him. He's got a bad attitude.
I'll fix this guy. Watch this, everyone. I'm John Elway.
some quarterbacks are better at quarterbacks than running teams.
So, at the end of this day, I will ask you now, Sweet Lou, and again, we got plenty of time in the season. But if Vegas is saying 9.5 is the over-under for wins for the Chicago Bears in the 2019 season, do you take the over or the under?
I'm taking the over. I won't be swayed by Vegas. I think the defense is that good. I think they're an 11-5 team. I think they're going to the. I know they're going to the Super Bowl and playing in South Florida next February.
Oh, they always do well in South Florida.
Would like to rent out his apartment down there.
Absolutely, to $10,000 for the week.
Willing to pay the money right now. If you want, if Chicago Bears fans are listening to this right now, reach out. It's sweetlou.com.
It's a one bedroom with four beds, and it's $10,000.
That says it all right there, doesn't it? They call that the Kraft.
In the Mondrian Hotel.
Yes, there we go.
Jeez.
Bingo.
One bedroom with four beds.
Now, do you still think that if we stay healthy, because that's we never seem to do.
Last year they did. Yeah, they were healthy last year.
Yeah,
but
that's
you're right.
The problem.
But I don't think they'll be that healthy this
that
year.
Was, see, that was the thing. That's why I want what's-his-face on a wanted poster. Because the reality is that's the moment, that's the window. Yeah. You don't get a year where you're that healthy. Ever.
That's true.
Ever. Yeah. Nobody had a major injury. Right?
Bryce Callahan was really the only major loss down there.
They lost Trubisky for a game and a half?
That's true.
Right. Two and a half games?
Was it Long out for a bit?
Kyle Long was, yes.
And Max sat out for a couple of games.
I mean, that's how deep it was, a couple game things.
Nothing lasting.
Some guys were losing their top stars before the season starts.
Right.
Preseason injuries this or first game injuries.
This is why, and I'm going to disagree, as much as I love Ed Obradovich, we're going to have him on coming up this week. I'm going to totally disagree with him. When Matt Nagy wasn't playing these guys in the preseason, I am all for that. These guys who go out and get hurt. I mean, when Rex Grossman, I'll never forget when he snapped his ankle in St. Louis in a preseason game. You're like, what in the...
You don't want number 52 out.
Exactly.
There at all.
Right. I'd be fine if he doesn't
show how little preparation he needs with this first game with the Bears.
Exactly.
After about an hour and a half.
Right.
What's your name again?
Nice to meet you.
Roquan? How do you say that name? Okay, listen. Okay. Follow me.
Just go kill the quarterback.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to occupy six guys, and then you make a tackle.
That's going to be your breakout on defense. This year's Roquan Smith.
Yeah, he's going to have a breakout season.
This is where he has learned his position.
What about Leonard Floyd? Leonard Floyd, you know, there's an option there on the fifth year of his contract.
They picked it up, right?
Did they pick it up already?
So he'll be back. You know, you've got to figure that gives him some confidence as well to know that.
Well, I'd like to see him get to the quarterback.
Yes.
Well, that's, you know, Lawrence Taylor made, you know, perennial All-Pros and even Hall of Famers out of other linebackers, Carl Banks and guys like that, because he was so good.
11 is now the new over-under.
What?
You know, because Lou just brought it up. Over-under on 11.
Vegas
or even.
Is scrambling. Did you hear what Lou said from Chicago?
Kevin Powell.
I think it's over. I just think...
More than whoa! That. You got him as a 12-win team.
Oh, no. Over 11, you're saying?
Yes.
Ooh, I say they go 11-5. Very early.
Just because I'm used to having my heart broken, I'm going under.
Ooh.
I'm still available to take you to the Avengers Marvel.
If the footballers don't have extra games, then there's more time we can spend together.
I'm going to be the pessimist, too, and go with Lorna. They're going to go 9-7 and break a lot of hearts.
Oh,
see, I was at least thinking 10.
I'm going 9-7. Why do you invite me to the show?
Because
too many Debbie Downers.
Because we just love the idea of Luke
Nelson.
I'm betting
the over.
I think they're going to the Super Bowl this year.
Okay, well, I'm betting the over again. Darn it!
Did you watch the first game against Green Bay last year? Yep. Come on, that was so heartbreaking.
Did you watch the rest of the season though?
They're going. Yeah. They're going. Mm-mm. Listen to this.
Whoa.
They're going 13-6 this year. They're playing three more games than everyone else. Well, they are because they're going to win the Super Bowl.
So,
13-6.
I see what you did.
6 and then win 3 in the postseason.
I had to do some math.
Are they going in as a wild card or are they going in as the division champ?
I think they might go in as a division champ because I think in the NFC North, which is going to be the wackiest division, I think it's going to be a nightmare for Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Green Bay may win here on opening night, which could freak everybody out because it's just, you know, but I think Green Bay is going to have an awful year. I don't see Minnesota having a great year. Detroit, of course, sucks.
Mm-hmm.
We all know Detroit sucks. Mm-hmm. So I think 10-6 might do it. They're going to have a very tough season, but then they're going to get in the playoffs. If they get in the playoffs healthy, they roll right through.
I like that.
13
well, I
six.
Think the best thing that happened to this team was that they lost 16-15 to the Eagles because that sour taste sticks with you until you get back in the playoffs.
They will cream the Eagles. I would like to point out.
And they've got the Eagles November 9th, I believe, is that the date on that game.
That is going to be... Do you know what? If you're an Eagles fan, even if you're... What's his face? You know, from...
Chef Mike?
No. if you are if just
Mike Trout.
If you happen to be in A Star Is Born.
Oh, Bradley Cooper. That's what I got.
Philly guy. Yeah.
You're still going to get trounced. I'm not going to cry for you that day. I cried for you when you went in the garage and the dog sniffed the door. I'm going to cry for you for that. But I am not going to cry for you that day because it's going to be, if they end up having a crap season, which I know the Bears will not, but if they do, they will still win that game no matter what.
I think the Eagles would be, they really should have the first bobble goalpost giveaway ever, though. It would really stick it to Bears fans, that little wobble bobble goalpost.
I shouldn't give them that idea. But we can market that. And it turns out Rob Kahn and Richard Roper were the ones behind it.
Don't put my name on that. Why are you putting my name on that?
Kevin Powell Industries.
What?
Yeah. Philly did troll Chicago hard after that. Remember they had billboards and stuff that just said double doink and it was a ball hitting a post? Yeah,
and they were sending money to Cody Parker's charity.
Right. Has anyone seen him lately?
He was on the Today Show. That went well. That went over well with Chicago.
I believe that Cody Parker is the new president of Ukraine, if I'm not mistaken. All right, thank you, Sweet Lou Kanellis.
That was fun.
More to come on this.
All right, see you, Lou.
There you go.